Hare Krishna.
So I have memorized the verse, Mallanam. Morning it was taught, na? Sloka recitation class. He didn't speak? Eight fifty. Hare Krishna. Krishnakatha brings ecstasy.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, 10th canto, chapter number 43, text number 17. Chapter is Krishna kills the elephant Kovalyapida.
Mallanam Asharindranam Naravara Strinam Smaro Murtiman. Gopanam Svajano Satam Kshiti Bhujam Svasta Sapitro Smisu. Mrityor bhoja pater virada vidusham tatvam param yoginam. Vrishninam paradevateti vidito rangam gata sagrajam. Mallanam Asharindranam Naravaram Strinam Smaro Murtiman. Gopanam Svajano Satam Kshiti Bhujam Svasta Svapitro Shishu. Mrityor bhoja pater virada vidusham tatvam param yoginam. Vrishninam paradevateti vidito rangam gatah sagrajaham.
So when Krishna entered this wrestling arena along with his brother Balaram, and he was carrying the tusks of the elephant Kovalyapida, right? So both of them were carrying the tusks, and they were also smeared with the blood of Kovalyapida. Some drops were on them, and their faces were decorated with perspiration. So like that they entered. So different people were watching Krishna and Balaram, right? They were splendid in wonderful clothes, which were actually grabbed from that washerman. So in those clothes, so they were appearing very beautiful, right? They were also accompanied by their friends, Gopa friends. So Krishna is shown to be the direct embodiment of all the meanings of the Upanishads by showing how he appeared differently to different types of people assembled in the wrestling arena. So in the initial discussions, very first chapters or very first classes of our Vidyapeeth, we discussed how the first verse of Bhagavatam has five different explanations, and how Bhagavatam is compared to different objects like a tasty fruit, sun, lamp, You remember all that? So Bhagavatam gives a generic understanding of the absolute truth. That's why it is compared to lamp. Bhagavatam destroys the misconceptions of demons and it will give joy to the devotees. That is why it is called sun. And Bhagavatam is also compared to a tasty fruit because it gives the description of madhura rasa, sweet rasa. And what is the other comparison? Mohini Murti. Bhagavatam is compared to Mohini Murti because just as Mohini Murti gives nectar to the demigods and hides that nectar from the demons, similarly Bhagavatam also reveals the deeper meanings and essence and wonderful insights to sincere readers who are devotees and hides those meanings from unscrupulous people who just want to make a show out of Bhagavatam sessions that they take, right? Who wants to earn some material, whatever, money, name, fame, wealth, etc. So if they want to attain that through Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam does not reveal that main meaning. Apparently they may speak a lot, they may even cry while speaking, they may make the audience also cry, but still the meanings are not very much revealed because Bhagavatam is like Mohini Murti. Why? This is just a book. If someone reads a book, if he has intelligence, he should understand it. Why this happens? Why Bhagavatam has to be compared like a Mohini Murti? So this book is not like any ordinary book which you can understand by your own intelligence. So we can understand the meaning of Bhagavatam to the extent we have proper consciousness. What is that consciousness? Second verse says, Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. To the extent one is non-envious, to that extent one can understand Bhagavatam. To the extent one has envy in his heart, to that extent the meanings of Bhagavatam are blocked to him. Right? If someone is, advancing more in devotional service by seeing him, am I feeling insecure? Am I feeling envious of him? We should contemplate. If there is insecurity and envy and jealousy in one's heart, he cannot understand Bhagavatam. Why this kind of insecure feelings come? His Holiness Radhanaswami Maharaj mentions in one class that one feels insecure or one doesn't feel satisfaction in one's life to the extent one has no capacity to relish Krishna Katha. That's where envy and insecurity come. So if one has inner fulfillment in just relishing Krishna Katha, one has sufficient attraction to Krishna Katha, nothing else can cause any insecurity or fear or disturbance or envy in that person. So the measure of how much envy I have is how much insecure you feel inside. How much envy you feel for others. To that extent you are connected to Bhagavatam. So to that extent you can relish Bhagavatam. What is the proof that you are relishing Bhagavatam? You don't feel envious or insecure when others are advancing. Right? That is the proof. So if one is constantly seeking recognition, hankering for recognition, when will people appreciate me? When will people notice me as some important personality, someone who is of worth noticing, worth glorification? Constant hankering for glorification, appreciation, recognition and adoration. So that is a symptom by which one can understand that he has not relished Krishna Katha. He has not tasted Krishna Katha. If he has tasted Krishna Katha and developed some taste for Krishna Katha, then he doesn't hanker for this external recognition. Right? Recognition. And to the extent one hankers for recognition by others, right, appreciation and glorification or praise from others, to that extent he becomes envious if he doesn't get it. Right? He hankers for it and he becomes envious of those who are getting it. Like that. So all these are very much connected for our understanding of Bhagavatam. Why? Bhagavatam is not a book. Bhagavatam is Krishna. Sri Krishna Parivartita. Right? Kalau Nashtadrasham Esha Puranarko Dhunodita. What is that verse? That glorification. Krishna Swadhyama Gopagate, and there is another. Krishna Lilastava by. That is Padma Puran verse. Pado Yadiyo Prathamadvitiyo. There is most popular verse. I got. Sri Krishna Parivartate. How does that verse begin? Sarva Shastrabdi Piyusha, Sarva Vedeka Drukpatha, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya, Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu, Kalidhvanto Kritaditya, Sri Krishna Parivartate. That thing. So Kalidhvanto Krita Aditya, Sri Krishna Parivartita. Bhagavatam is like a sun that has arisen in this Kali Yuga to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. So it is nothing but Krishna who has come back again in the form of a book. So this book is Krishna. Simple. What is Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam is Krishna in the form of a book. Granthavatar. So now this verse, in this verse Krishna, same 10-year-old boy Krishna. Right? Now maybe he is 10 and a half to 11 year old. That's all. That is his age. Right, in the cowherd boy attire, with some blood drops sprinkled on him, right, with some perspiration coming, and with some the yellow pitambar, whatever. So he is having that form, he entered the wrestling arena. That same form of Krishna invoke different kinds of emotions in different kinds of people depending on their consciousness. You understand? So if Krishna, that person Krishna, has the capacity to invoke multiple different kinds of emotions in different kinds of people depending on their consciousness, when that same Krishna descends in the form of a book, Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam also will have that equal potency to invoke different kinds of emotions in different kinds of readers depending on the consciousness of the readers. Like that. So this verse is quoted in the third verse of Bhagavatam. Nigama kalpataro galitam phalam sukamukhadamrita dravasamyutam pibhata bhagavatam rasam alayam. So Krishna is the akhila rasamrita murti. What is that verse? The beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Akhila rasamrita murti prasmada ruchi ruddha taraka pali kalita shyama lalito radha prayan vidhurjayati. So Krishna is described to be the reservoir of all rasas. Akhila rasamrita murti. This is one example of that. Right, all rasas are there. We'll see now how many rasas are there in that, in Krishna. So the point is, Bhagavatam, essence of what we have discussed in the last 5-10 minutes is, Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. If Krishna can invoke different emotions in different people depending on their consciousness, Bhagavatam also can reveal different meanings to different readers depending on their consciousness. Like that. So we are expecting reciprocation from Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam reciprocates with us and gives us the understanding to the extent we have the right consciousness of being non-envious. Right? That is one most important attribute. Because as I said yesterday also, some of these privileged services are sought after by many people. Deity worship, being close with the deities, being close to the mic, right? Either by singing or speaking. So that's a privileged thing. We are one person sitting and then running the show. And there are, you know, 10 people or 20 people or 100 people or 1,000 people or 10,000 people sitting and hearing what you are singing and what you are speaking and how you are addressing the deities. interesting. That may be without mic, but what you are doing is witnessed by the whole world. Right? So that is the most attention attracting activity within the realm of devotional service. If one does not have the right consciousness in doing that activity, that public attention, one will become puffed up because of that public attention. And if one is getting more attention in that, then he will become envious of that person, other person, who is becoming more prominent than him. Envy, insecurity will develop. अरे मैं लेक्चर देता हूँ कोई आता नहीं, ये लेक्चर दिया तो 10 लोग आ रहे, 1000 लोग आ रहे, ये क्या क्या इतना खास क्या बोलते हो, मैं गाता हूँ, मेरे को शेड्यूल करता नहीं वो सिंगिंग में, एंड देन दिस फेलो इज शेड्यूल्ड एवरी नाउ एंड देन फॉर सिंगिंग, राइट, सो आई कैन डू लॉट ऑफ कलाकारी, सो वाई ही समवन एल्स इज गेटिंग मोर प्रोमिनेंट ऑन फेस्टिवल ड्रेसिंग, मेरे को फेस्टिवल ड्रेसिंग करना है, right? So these are all attention attracting elements of devotional service are being sought by the practicing devotees to the extent one becomes obsessed with the desire to show off without having right consciousness. To that extent he cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam, to that extent he cannot relish the nectar in Krishna consciousness. Ultimately all these scriptures are there for giving the satisfaction of heart. If one is dissatisfied for not getting an opportunity to render some privileged, not getting the opportunity to receive some privilege or to receive that recognition and appreciation, then it is only declaring his inner vacuum, right? He has not sufficiently filled the heart with Krishna conscious vibrations. It's there with vacuum, and he's hankering to fill that vacuum with appreciation, glorification, praise, likes, fans, fan following, like that. So that is about application. Now Krishna can reveal different emotions or meanings to different people depending on their consciousness. Let's see today how people are perceiving Krishna, right? And why people are perceiving Krishna like that. So from one side you will see Krishna is the reservoir of all rasas. From other side you will see the best facet of Krishna you will get exposed to if you have the right consciousness, right? Now we will see this from the angle of Krishna. We will also see this from the angle of the perceiver who is coming in contact with Krishna. Getting right? So why Krishna, why this fellow is seeing Krishna in that feature? Although Krishna has so many features, this feature has become more prominent in this person because of his own consciousness, not because of something lacking in Krishna. So Virad Avidusham. Virad Avidusham means some avidusha, unintelligent people, foolish people, they are seeing Krishna as Virat. Right, that is one phrase there. Virat means Virat Purusha, universal form. Hey, such sweet boy, Vrindavan Krishna is standing there and you are seeing Virat Rup, the ghastly form of the universe, which is actually material form of the Lord, gross form, which is actually an imagination, which is not even existing. There is no permanent planet for Virat Rup in the spiritual world also. It's an imagination, it's a conceptualization. It's bona fide, but it's imaginary. So people are perceiving Vrindavan Krishna, who is directly standing there, and then seeing that he's Virat Rup, because they are avidusha, they are unintelligent, like that. So we'll see step by step. So Mallanam Ashanir. So Mallanam, I mean, you will be able to put in your you can mark in your books or something, every phrase, what is the rasa and all. So I thought of doing it here, but let me speak instead of using the board now. Last time I used board and then was explaining. Or you can bring it here so that I can keep it here, so that I can mark board. Only the board you keep. Only this. Whiteboard only put, and give me some pen. which is of different color if possible. You can see, na? Small verse. Anyways, we also have books also. It's not so...
So, Mallanam means wrestlers.
Right? So, Malla means wrestlers.
Those who do kusti. Right? Fighting.
So, like Chanura, Mushtika, Shala, Toshala, Kuta. These are all the prominent wrestlers in Kamsa's arena.
So, these fellows are seeing Krishna as Ashanir.
Ashanir means thunderbolt,
right? So Indra's thunderbolt. So Krishna, he has soft, sweet, cooling limbs. If you touch Krishna's limbs, you feel like I'm touching butter. So soft, so cool, like that. Except when Krishna keeps his hand in the mouth of Kesi, Kesi will feel that it's burning hot iron rod. Right, but otherwise it's butter soft. Some one gopi just caught Krishna's hand, red-handed, right? Red-handed. So he was stealing butter, and then that gopi caught Krishna's hand and then dragged Krishna to Mother Yashoda's house, right? So Prabhavati gopi, and then Krishna transformed himself into Prabhavati's son, right? And she was complaining, your son is like this, he stole our butter, broke our pots, etc. You should punish your son. I brought him red-handed in front of you. So she was complaining like that. And Mother Yashoda was laughing. You brought your own son. You are constantly thinking about my son Krishna only, and then you are thinking your son Krishna as your son as my son. Like that. But she was confident. So far, when she was touching Krishna, she could feel the butter-soft, cooling hand of Krishna. So the touch was, touch gave that confidence, right? If she was touching her own child, she would have recognized, this is not Krishna. But she was confident. She caught Krishna's hand, and then she was dragging to Mother Yashoda. Till that time, she was feeling that this is Krishna only, because of the touch. Oh, I thought I touched Krishna's hand, which is so cooling, which is so soft, which is so sweet. But later Krishna transformed into someone else, like that. So Krishna has the soft and cooling limbs, but he was appearing as a wrestler, as a thunderbolt, which is very hard, to all the wrestlers. And this comparison is very significant, because thunderbolt, Indra's thunderbolt, is said to be smashing the mountains. Right? Indra sends thunderbolt and then mountains will be smashed. Right? You read about this analogy somewhere. So all these wrestlers are having bodies like mountains. So Krishna is going to smash those mountain-like bodies. That's why Krishna is appearing like thunderbolt to them. They are proud that we have mountain-like bodies, very strong. But when they saw Krishna, it's thunderbolt. Although we are mountain, he doesn't look like a small child who is just trying to struck the mountain and break his head and limbs. They are seeing him as thunderbolt. So this is called Raudra Rasa. Right? This is... And this Raudra Rasa... Someone can write. Who is not taking notes? Someone who is not taking notes so much, they can sit and write here. Come on, Ajav. You only wrote the board also. So, Krishna is into, is exhibiting Raudra Rasa, fury. Right? So, this Rasa will appear, there are Sthayi Bhavas. Sthayi Bhava means one's emotion will come to a certain peak. So, this... all these wrestlers, they have anger. Because they are so angry, and their anger reached Sthayi Bhav. Their anger reached a certain peak. So they are experiencing this Raudra Rasa. Like that. So Krishna is like, is sweet like a sugar candy. But that sugar candy, same sugar candy tastes very bitter to someone who is affected with jaundice. Similarly, Krishna is so sweet, beautiful, soft, like butter. But that body appears like a thunderbolt to the wrestlers because they have jaundice. Right? Just like sweet appears bitter to jaundice-affected person, diseased person. Similarly, sweet Krishna appeared like a thunderbolt to this mountain-like puffed-up wrestlers. Right? So that is one. So you can write Raudra Rasa and Krodha Sthayi Bhava. Right? So though Krishna's form was seen by the wrestlers and similarly inclined spectators there, they did not taste the real form of Lord Swarupa. Right? But they experienced Rasabhas. Now second, Rinam Naravara. Right? So Rinam means the citizens. General men in the city of Mathura, other than parents and other people, wicked people. Nrina means general people. So these general men, they don't include the wicked people and they don't include this, parents. Because they are having different rasas, right? So Nrina, for them Krishna is like Naravaraha, best of males, right? So for the public of Mathura, they were endowed with general prema from birth, right? They have no envy or other unfavorable elements. So to them Krishna appeared like best of men. Oh, who is the best of men? They have some general affection for the Lord, right? Nothing very specific. So this is because of Vismaya Sthayi Bhav. Vismaya means they are wondering. So you can write this there in Adbhuta Rasa. Adbhuta Rasa. Vismaya means getting astonished. Oh, wow, he looks like best of the men. It's like that. Astonishing person. Then Strinam. So Strinam means woman. Strinam. Smaro Murtiman. So this Strinam means woman. That doesn't include Devaki and other elderly women who are having motherly affection. So these Strinam are like younger people, younger women. So for them Krishna is appearing like Smaro. Smaro Murtiman is like a personification of Cupid. Oh, Cupid has come in person here. Like that. So their feelings towards Krishna have absolutely no tinge of materialist. They are full of prema. Right? Conjugal. Like that. So by mentioning that Krishna is Cupid and especially this word, Srinam Smaro, our Sukadeva Goswami should have stopped here. But he said Murtiman also. That indicates, it is indicated that all the other realizations are angas of this Swarupa. Murtiman. The Krishna is the combination or is the, what to say, is the Swarupa, is the personification of all the other feelings, all the other realizations. Right? Murti, he is a person mainly. He is a person, that's why he is called Murtiman. So this is called Shringara Rasa. Right? So, or it is also called Ujjala Rasa. So this comes at the stage of Priyatha Sthayi Bhav. Once dearness or affection, love towards Krishna, when it gets increased, Priyata. Priyata Sthayi Bhav. Right? So Adbhuta is Vismaya Sthayi Bhav. That is, Raudra is Krodha Sthayi Bhav. And this is Shringara Rasa, Priyata Sthayi Bhav. So we get two terminologies.
In Sthayi Bhav, it shows that particular rasa is already like Priyata, nature is already there.
So Sthayi Bhav means coming to a very advanced exhibition of one's emotion. Right, so we'll learn more of this in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu later, little esoteric things. So it's intensified prema. So krodha is there, krodha sthayi bhav. That krodha means it's not general anger. That anger has become very intensified. It has achieved this sthayi bhava. That bhava, the emotion of anger, has become very intense. So then they are experiencing this raudra rasa.
Next, Gopanam. So Gopanam Svajano. Gopanam means all the gopas, cowherd men. So they were thinking that he is our relative. Right? They are familiar, Vrajavasis. They are thinking that Krishna is our relative. So because they are in friendliness. Krishna being friendly towards the gopis is his nature. Right? They are thinking that he is our friend. So they are seeing Krishna with unrestricted hearts in this extraordinary costume decorated with elephant's blood. Like that. So they are in Sakhya Rasa. And that is Hasa Sthai Bhav. So an element of Sakhya Rasa is humor. Hasya. Hasya means humor. So they are in Hasa Sthai Bhav. They are experiencing Sakhya Rasa. Then Asatam Kshiti Bhujam. So this Asatam, not Satam here. So that FSV is given, right? So that indicates Asatam means impious, right? Bad. Satam is good, Asatam is bad. So Asatam Kshiti Bhujam. Kshiti Bhujam means, Kshiti means land. Kshiti Bhujam means enjoyer of the land or the ruler of the land, means king. So Asatam Kshiti Bhujam means impious kings. Unrighteous kings, unscrupulous kings. So these people are seeing Krishna as Asatam Kshitibhujam Shasta, we put here. So Shasta means chastiser, right? So Shasta means Shasti. He has to receive certain Shasti. We say that like that in Telugu. So Shasta means chastisement, right? Shasti means chastisement. Shasta means person who chastises. So they are all seeing Krishna as chastiser. All the impious kings who are supporting Kamsa. So and they are tormenting innocent earth. They are offending so many devotees. They are stopping the sacrifices of so many sages. They saw Krishna as chastiser or destroyer. Oh my God, this boy has come to destroy all of us. To chastise all of us. To punish all of us. Like that. Actually, Krishna is not Shasta. Krishna is so sweet in his Swarupa. This Shasta being Shasta is not the Swarupa of Krishna. But Krishna is appearing so in this context because of the degraded consciousness of these impious kings. That's why they are saying Asatam. Because of their Asata mentality, they are seeing Krishna as Shasta. But Krishna is not Shasta. Right? Even Krishna's punishment, chastisement is also for their benefit only. So they are not part of Krishna's Swarupa. Although Krishna is exhibiting these rasas, some of these rasas are not originating from Krishna's innate natural sweetness. It's not coming from from Krishna's Swarupa. Because of the viewer's consciousness, they are seeing like that. Right? He is the embodiment of all bliss and friendship. Like the Rizalars, they did not taste Krishna, but they just got an abhas of Raudra Rasa. So they are in Veera, chivalry. So Veera Rasa, right? And what is their Sthai Bhava? Raudra Sthai Bhava, right? Raudra Sthai Bhava called Utsaha on seeing his extreme courage. So kings means they have this mentality of being warriors. I am warrior. I am ready for fight. So like that. That's why when in the fight there is the Raudra, that anger. This anger is at one level. Raudra is little more. Fury. Right? Actually, this Rizalars and this Asatam Kshitibhujam, both are almost on the same platform of seeing Krishna as chastiser. Like that. So this is Veera Rasa. Next, Svapitroho Shishuhu. Svapitroho means parents. Who are they? Devaki and Vasudev. They are seeing Krishna as Shishu. Shishu means child. So he is our child. They are having some parental emotions. So a parent is always merciful and affectionate and loving towards their children. Right? So their rasa is daya. So daya rasa. So, or Karuna Rasa, you can say. So, they are into Shoka Sthai Bhava. Shoka.
Why Shoka? Because out of their daya, compassion or mercy towards the children, Krishna and Balaram, they were lamenting. Shoka means lamentation. They were lamenting that, array, my dear boys are being tormented by Kamsa's wrestlers. Right? They have to fight with them. What will happen to them? Out of their compassion, they could not recognize Krishna's prowess as Ashanir and Shasta. They are seeing them as children, Shishu. How can a Shishu be a Shasta or Ashanir? Right? Because they are in this emotion, Daya, Rasa and Soka Sthayi Bhav, they cannot see him as Shasta and Ashanir. But if they have the knowledge that he is Shasta and Ashanir, they will not have this Shoka and Daya. Getting right? They are overwhelmed by this emotion, Daya emotion. Right? So now we are seeing from here, right? From we are audience of this whole scene. But they are involved, they are actors. Right? They are participating in the pastime, they are undergoing certain emotions. For example, you are watching a movie, and in the movie, you will see hero just searching for a lost child, his son, whatever. And the director will show a big long shot, and the son is just playing somewhere on the behind that, say, shop. And this fellow is searching on this side of the shop, and then audience are just very much excited and anxious. Right? Will the hero find the child? Will the hero find the child? He's just there. Hurry, udhar dekho, udhar dekho. Some audience who are so absorbed in the pastime, they prompt also. That is a screen. He cannot understand. And when the when some say heroine is crying, some ladies also cry with their kerchiefs. Right? They are absorbed in that passion. But they are able to see the whole picture. We are able to see the whole picture, but these people, they cannot see that picture of Krishna as Shasta or someone else. Right? They are overwhelmed with a positive rasa. These people are overwhelmed with a negative rasa. And we have no rasa. We can see all rasas. We can analyze all rasas. Our intelligence can take us only to that extent. Hamara kuch rasa hai hi nahi. So now, for example, Sukadeva Goswami is describing Putana episode, and then Parikshit Maharaj got overwhelmed. Hey, Putana is nice coming. What will happen to Krishna? He got into that rasa. But Sukadeva Goswami said, nothing will happen. Wherever there is some glorification of Krishna, all this Yatudhani, they cannot exit and their influence. He is pacifying. But for us, nothing will happen. Right? We are hearing, okay, Krishna will kill Putana now. Right? Because we have no rasa. So we are just understanding what are the rasas, trying to analyze them, look at them. Because by constantly discussing these esoteric pastimes, one may tend to feel that I am also at that level. Familiarity breeds contempt. Right? One may think that I am also at that level. Like maybe, kaunsa rasa ho? Shringara rasa mein hu. Maybe karuna rasa mein hu. One may imagine like that. That is sahajya mentality. Right? Prematurely, if one thinks that I am at that level, that's a sahajya mentality. We are sadhakas. We are trying to understand what are the different rasas. Right? So, these people, they are just seeing Krishna as their loving child. So, they experienced vatsalya rasa. Right? Daya, or you can say vatsalya also. So, daya is actually an aspect of vatsalya. Or karuna rasa. And seeing Krishna amidst those who want to kill him. They were worrying. Hey, these people have such evil intentions of killing these small boys. Right? They were seeing them as a baby only. They cannot see Krishna as someone who is very powerful. So, now in this context, we need to remember the Vatsalya Rasa of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. And we can compare that with Vasudev and Devaki. So, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, they can never be influenced by the Aishwarya mood. They are into pure Vatsalya. But Vasudev and Devaki, they are into pure Vatsalya sometimes, but they also get into Aishwarya mood sometimes. Right?
Now, in this context, Vasudeva and Devaki were exhibiting pure Vatsalya. There is no Aishwarya in this. If they are having some tinge of Aishwarya, this Swapitro Shishu, this Dayarasa, Karunarasa, Vatsalya will not manifest. Right? This is pure Vatsalya, untinged with Aishwarya. Like that. But whatever may be the situation, Vasudeva, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, they can never be involved with Aishwarya. But after this context, after Krishna kills Kamsa, then Krishna exhibited that power, then for a moment, Vasudeva and Devaki were overwhelmed with Aishwarya. Now this pure Vatsalya is gone. Aishwarya manifested in them. My God, these children have killed, they have protected us. They are seeing them as protectors. Right? But Krishna felt, I am their child and they are supposed to take care of me. They are my parents, father and mother. If they are imbued with Aishwarya now, how will they show affection to me? So Krishna did some magic and then again they came back into Vatsalya mood. Right? And then they embraced and kissed Krishna and then, what happened to you? Are your limbs intact? And then they are all searching. They are taking care of Krishna at that point. So like that. So the word Sva indicates that his relationship with Vasudeva and Devaki was more intimate than with the rest of Rishnis. Svapitroho. Right? Svapitroho. There are so many elderly Rishnis. Right? They also may be having some maternal affection. But Svapitroho means the position of Devaki and Vasudeva is different from other Vrishnis. Like that. Superior. Then, Mrityur Bhojapater. Bhojapati is who? Bhojapati is Kamsa. Right? So Bhojapati is Kamsa. So Kamsa is seeing death personified. Mrityu. He is into Bhayanakarasa. It's not just mere fear, terror or fury. It's like Bhayanaka, the degree is increasing, right? What the wrestlers are seeing and what the impious kings are seeing, they are seeing Krishna at certain level. But Kamsa is seeing on a much bigger level. Getting right? The intensity of insecurity in Kamsa is much more compared to other general kings and the regular wrestlers. Right? Wrestlers are always prepared to take some punches. Or even kill. They're ready. They're not so much attached to their own lives as much as the kings get attached. Right? Soldiers means servants of a kshatriya means they have to be prepared for death or defeat at any time. Their regular motive is if I am killed in this war, the king will take care of my family. By giving them remuneration or whatever. So some people think like that. Some of the soldiers. Anyways, that's a side point. So Krishna is seen as Mrityu for Kamsa. So then when it comes to Mrityu, the bhava can be bhaya. It's not Veera anymore. Impious kings are seeing him as another chastiser or punisher and he is coming to punish us, right? So they are getting into some Veera mood, chivalry mood. But here he is seeing him in Bhayanakarasa. He is going to come as my death. So fear was the most overwhelming emotion in Kamsa. That's why it is Bhayasthayi Bhav. Bhojapater is Bhayasthayi Bhav. He is in Bhayanakarasa. Okay? So Kamsa was the cause of the death for many devotees personally. And through his demoniac followers, he tried to kill Krishna's mother and Krishna. Like that. Next. So Bhojapate can also means the master of devourer. Bhoja. Bhojan. Right? Devouring. So this Bhojan is killing. By killing, he devours. Bhojapate means he is the master of devourers. So Kamsa devoured so many people. Through his agents and personally also. Like that. Next is Virad Avidusham. So Avidusha means unintelligent people. They are seeing Krishna as universal form. Where is Krishna's personal sweet swarupa and where is universal form which is ghastly? But unintelligent people are seeing Krishna like that. So this is ghastliness or bhibhatsarasa. So this comes at the point of jugupsi sthai bhava. Jugupsa. Sthai bhava. Disgust. When Arjuna saw universal form, my God, this is so scary. Right? He got jugupsa. My God, disgusted. He got disgusted seeing that form. Please retract. Show this your normal form. Two-handed form. Beautiful form. Right? Pashyami devam stava deva dehe. What is the other thing? What is the next line? 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Pashyami devam stava deva dehe. Whatever. Aneka bahu dara vaktra netram pashyami tvam sarvato anantarupam. Nantam. So some long description is given. Arjuna is expressing his experience of seeing that form. So those without knowledge, such as the priests of Kamsa and other offenders, saw Krishna as one individual material human. Right? So the foolish call him the Supreme Lord, but we can see with our eyes that he is most despicable. Taking others' wives, killing bulls, then appearing now before us with the body smeared with the bones and blood of an animal. He does the most unethical things. So like that, unethical behavior. That's what Krishna is blamed for. So such speakers as this, most sinful, without anger, were lower than Kamsa. They had abhasa of bhibhatsarasa. Right? Jugupsa, they got disgusted seeing Krishna. This fellow is killing bulls, killing calves, means Harishtasura and Vatsasura. And he smeared with blood. They are seeing Krishna, my God, horrible fellow. So that's what is their emotion, like that, unintelligent people. So the ignorant experienced Jugupsi Sthai Bhava or Bhibhatsarasa, since they thought he was a material imperfect person, even though the wise understood him as having a body of eternity, knowledge and bliss. So some people who are present there, they were not very inimical, but they did not have the knowledge of Krishna and they were not very favorable about Krishna. Like the Brahmins who had performed the sacrifice and ignored Krishna, there were ignorant people present at the wrestling match. Since they did not experience any happiness from the realization of his Swarupa, they did not know him. So as soon as one sees Krishna, they get some happiness. But these people, unintelligent people, they did not experience any happiness only. No pleasure. Right? In a feast you are being served, say, some paneer sabji or some gulab jamun or kala jamun like that. So someone gets excited. Some people, wow, laddu mila humko. Some people, they have no taste only, they don't get excited at all. So they are either beyond the realm of Annamayi Kosha, or they have no taste for sweets, like that. So here the sweetest object, Krishna, is coming and then they are feeling jugupsa. Are kya yaar, kala jamun there, give me some mirchi. That's what some people say, like that. Some people do like this. Sweet? So, since they did not attain the mercy of his Shakti to realize the form, they realized him as a human child. Sukadeva Goswami also describes this in Aghasura episode. What is that? Ittam satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatam paradevatena mayashritanam naradarakena. Mayashritanam, those who have taken shelter of Lord's Maya, they think that paradarakena, he is another neighbor child, right? Mischievous child, human child, material child, like that. So Virat in this verse means a human child, a portion of the universal form which is material. That's how Virat is coming. All this description is about human child, ordinary person, unethical person, like that. How is it connected to Virat? So Virat Rup is what? It's a combination of all the material aspects, right? So we are all part of Virat Rup, not the soul, our bodies, right? So this is basically material human forms we have. So they are seeing Krishna also as a part of Virat Rup.
He is also having a material human form, like that. Then, tattvam param yoginam. Yogis, it's strange that in such a wrestling arena, yogis were also sitting. So, yogis, they were seeing tattvam param. Param tattvam is what? Absolute truth, like that. They are in shantaras, peaceful ras, right? They don't have many personal emotions. Oh, he is absolute truth, like that. They are in a philosophical note. So, Kumaras and others, they were seated in the sky, right? So, not only the galleries or pavilions that Kamsa arranged in the stadium, they're like another gallery, cloud gallery. People are seeing from the top, sky also, like Kumaras and others. So they had jnana, they experienced Krishna Swarupa as Brahman. Because they are in Shantarasa. So he is Brahman, he is absolute truth, like that. So devotee is mixed with jnana sahim as Param Brahman and experienced Shantasthayi Bhava or Shantarasa. So the Shantarasa means being fixed in peacefulness. Shanta refers to affection which takes shelter of his Swarupa while there is absence of all material desires, possessing affection for him. So while at the same time having absence of more intense bhavas like Dasya and Sakya, like that. So it's like a neutral thing. Kuch bhi karo, in a movie, hero is doing whatever he wants to do, and someone who has already seen the movie 10 times, he need not be astonished only. Right? His friend is seeing the movie for the first time, and the hero is, you know, they're fighting something like that, then he will say, Abhi wo maar dega. Right? Now he will fall down. Huh? Right? Now he will jump here. He will jump there. He reveals all the suspense to him. So for him, there is no suspense only. Right? He is in Shantaras. Neutrally he is seeing. He got satiated by seeing that 10 times. So there is no excitement only. For someone who is seeing for the first time, there is a freshness. Right? Every moment, oh, what's happening? What's next? Like that. All of us have experienced all this, right? So that's why I'm giving this example, so that you can relate to. Right? You can empathize with all these people. Right? So Shantaras means whatever you do, there is no reaction only. But all the devotees in Sakya Rasa, then Vatsalya Rasa, Madhurya Rasa, such people, na? Shringara Rasa, they, for them, Krishna appears newer and newer. It's never, they are never satiated. Although they see multiple times, Krishna appears newer and newer. But for neutral Rasa, only they see peace only. Krishna is going and killing some demon, it's a very ghastly thing. They are peacefully watching. Oh, he is absolute truth. They know the end, they know the conclusion. After all, he is absolute truth. They are not involved in that pastime. Right? They can see from a neutral note. So that makes them qualified for Shantarasa. Like that. Now, we come to Vrishninam Paradevateti Vidito. So, Vrishninam means the people of the Vrishni dynasty. Paradevateti means they are seeing Krishna as Daiva or deity, worshipable deity. He is our worshipable Lord. Like that. They are having reverential feelings. They are in Dasya Rasa. Right? They are having Prema Bhakti. Right? Loving devotion. So, Yadus, they were all tasting Krishna Swarupa in Dasya Rasa. He was most worshipable for the Vrishnis. He produced Sab Prema Bhakti, Dasya Rasa. This means that they had Bhakti with knowledge of him as being worshipable. Like that. So, everybody is a devotee only, but these devotees, Vrishni devotees, they have a reverential respect for him and they see him as a worshipable person. But for example, this Vapitroh, they are also devotees, but they don't see Krishna as worshipable. They don't see Krishna as object of worship. They see Krishna as object of affection and mercy and compassion. That is their rasa. Right? And Swajano, Gopanam, they don't see Krishna as the object of worship. They see object of friendship. Right? That is their rasa. So there are different ways in which people can connect, right, with Krishna. So Krishna was the dearest devotee, their personal object of worship, since he was Swayam Bhagavan, like that. So now there are 10 types total, right? You have any other different color?
Sthayi Bhava is not... Prema Bhakti is there, Sthayi Bhava. That's the only thing. Prema Bhakti. There. Prema Bhakti attained the Sthayi. So now, we have seen 10 types of people. Right? Out of these 10, we have a different color. Red. Okay, no problem. No problem. Okay. Out of these 10 categories, you go to Mallanam, put that one. Number one. Next. These fellows, put two. Virada Vidisham, three. Mrityur Bhojapate, four. So these four are materialistic. They were unable to taste the real rasa of Krishna, who is the source of all rasa. Right? And other six people, six categories, whoever is left, Dhanam, Strinam, then Gopanam, then Swapitoho. So they are all experiencing eight types of rasas. We have seen Vatsalya rasa, Sringar rasa and all that. So they are Karuna rasa. They are not materialistic. They are seeing Krishna Swarupa, various facets of Krishna Swarupa. That's what they are seeing. But the other four, they were not seeing Krishna Swarupa. Means, the rasas that these four categories, materialistic people, they are experiencing in Krishna, are not actually there in Krishna. Getting right? Krishna is the reservoir of all rasas. But they are seeing some rasas in Krishna because of their own conditioned and envious mentality. Right? It's not part of Krishna's Swarupa. Bhayanaka rasa is not a part of Krishna's Swarupa. Bhayanaka rasa is seen in Krishna only because of my contaminated consciousness. Like that. So these four categories are like that. Krishna is, can never be like a thunderbolt. Right? But if someone is having this kind of consciousness, Krishna appears like a thunderbolt for him. Like that. Krishna says, Mrityu Sarvaharastaham. Krishna is not Mrityu. Definitely. He is the life. He is the soul of all souls. Right? There is no death to soul. How can Krishna be Mrityu? Right? But depending on what is the consciousness of a person, Krishna appears to him like Mrityu. Mrityur Bhojapatir. So Chakravarti Pada points out that out of all people, like the Rizlers, Kamsa and impious rulers, they perceive Krishna as dangerous, angry or threatening because they fail to understand the actual position of Krishna. Like that. Next. Krishna is everyone's friend and well-wisher, but because we rebel against him, he chastises us. And thus we may perceive him as threatening and other things. Right? So, raso vaisaha. He himself is rasa. The taste or mellow of all particular relationships. And certainly one who achieves this rasa becomes anandi, filled with bliss. Right? So like that there are so many other insights to this. There are five main rasas, there are seven secondary rasas. All of them are having Krishna as their supreme object. Okay? So our love and affection are actually meant for Krishna. That's what this verse proves. Whatever feeling you may have, Krishna is the primary object of that. If you are loving someone, you are loving him only because of your love for Krishna. Your ability or capacity to love someone is coming from Krishna, and it is actually towards Krishna, but it is seen in another person, it is directed towards another person who is a part and parcel of Krishna. Like that. If you are envying some person, you are actually envying Krishna. Because that person is a part and parcel of Krishna. Like that. Whatever emotion you may undergo, you are actually expressing that emotion towards Krishna in a positive way or in a negative way, in a big way or in a small way. That is actually directed towards Krishna. Because Krishna is the object of all rasas, Krishna is the abode of all emotions. Right, recipient of all emotions. In the 10th canto, 84th chapter somewhere, Vasudeva's prayers. Yasmai yena yato, like that then one verse comes. Of which, by which, in which. So like that, so many grammatical forms are mentioned. So, all these grammatical forms that we use in this English or whatever grammar, Sanskrit grammar, they are primarily referring to Krishna. Right? Whatever you are referring to, olav. Olav matlab kya? That bring that. That means there is Krishna there. Right? Tell him. The telling, the what is that called? The process of telling someone, that actually begins with Krishna. You should tell Krishna, or ask Krishna, or speak to Krishna, or see Krishna. Whatever you are doing, all the senses are having different sensual functions. All they are primarily directed towards Krishna. In a perverted way or in a pure way. Like that. So there are four types of people there. Those who are hostile, those who are ignorant, those who have knowledge, and those who have favorable knowledge. There are four types. So these are further divided into 10 types of observers. Right? So Krishna appeared differently to each type of observer in a suitable manner and showed his complete power in this sweet pastime. So for example, these rizzlers and impious rulers and Kamsa, they were aware of Krishna with hostility. Now there are different categorization is coming up. Right? So hostility. So Kamsa has the awareness of Krishna's power, but that is accompanied with some envy and anger and hostility and fear. Like that. So the men of Mathura, women, the parents of Krishna, they were favorable persons present, but they were aware of him with favorable attitudes. They had superior realizations of that form. Apparently, they are not aware of Krishna's powers, but their attitude is much favorable towards Krishna than those who are aware of Krishna's powers. Getting right? So awareness is on one level and attitude is on a different level. You are aware of someone's glory, but after all, that awareness is inducing envy in you. What is the use of that awareness? That is only increasing your envy and poisoning your mind. But someone is not aware of someone's glory and he is kind and affectionate towards him. Right? For example, somebody, some new person will come. In ashram, temple, there are two devotees living. Right? One devotee is doing so much service, and then he is like quite a prominent person within the temple. For example, someone of you are coordinating some services, something like that. You are doing some, rendering some service. So you are having some kind of, image in the temple. And another person is there within the temple only. He is not very happy with this person's position or advancement or role. He is envious of him. He is jealous of him. Something like that kind of feeling he has. So this person has complete awareness of the situation of another devotee. And now a newcomer comes in the temple. Narayan shop mein kanti mala kharida. And he doesn't know. So he comes to this devotee and then says, I am unable to open this. I don't know how to wear this. Can you please help me? So he may say like that. He's not aware. He's asking for some simple task to be done by him, from him. But this person will be happy to serve him more than interacting with the other person who is actually inimical towards him. Same, resident. Right? So the simplicity of approach towards a person gives him happiness. A simple opportunity to render some service to a simple person, that gives him happiness, non-envious person. If there is envy, if one is detecting envy or some malice in the heart of other person, the approach becomes very difficult. And the awareness will only increase that poison in that interaction. The more you become aware of another person, the more you become envious of that person. So on the other hand, being ignorant is better with a positive feeling. Getting right? At least you don't get into offenses. So like that. Fine. I think we have discussed sufficiently. There are many more things to be shared. There are three types of bhavas. So first, one categorization we have done. In materialistic perspective of Krishna, and there is favorable perspective. Then another categorization we have done. Four. those who are hostile, those who are ignorant, those who are aware, those who are favorably aware. And third, there are three types of bhavas. So bhava, opposing affection, right, found in a person with unfavorable vision of Krishna, and bhava which is neutral to affection, and bhava which is filled with affection. Right? These are emotions in relation to affection. Bhava against affection, bhava neutral to affection, bhava filled with affection. For example, Santarasa people are there. They are neutral. They are not showing so much affection. And bhava opposing affection. These Kamsa and other people are there. So they are not having any affection, unfavorable attitude. And Swapitra, Vasudeva and others are there. Vasudeva and who is there? Smaro, Strinam. They are having positive affection, favorable attitude. Like that. Okay. Hare Krishna. Now we will come to the purport. I think these important aspects of the purport we have seen. Fine. 18th verse. Hatam kuvalaya peedam drishtvatao apidurjayau kamso manasya pittada brisham udvivijay nripa.
When Kamsa saw that Kuvalayapid was dead and two brothers were invincible, he was overwhelmed with anxiety. O king.
So Sukadeva Goswami is addressing Parikshit Maharaj in joy, because just now he had the bliss of describing Krishna in various rasas. So Kamsa is very much unsettled in his mind. I thought they will never come only. So in the previous verses, Kamsa was anticipating for Krishna's arrival. He was lovingly and very diplomatically asking Nanda Maharaj, "Don't worry, I will not chastise or scold your kids, Krishna and Balaram. Don't worry. So ask them to come. Just tell them to be well behaved. That's all. That's all Kamsa had to say to Nanda Maharaj, right? But internally, what Kamsa was thinking, these people will not come only, because I have arranged Kuvalayapida to kill them. They will never reach, they will never make it to the wrestling arena. Before that only they will be dead. That's what he was thinking inside. At least that's what he was desiring inside, although he may not have much confidence about it. That's what he was planned. But suddenly they came. My God, they came. They came with the tusks of the elephant. It seems my dear elephant's blood is there on their face. My God, they killed. So he was so unsettled in his mind. He was feeling so anxious, nervous. Taureja tauranga gatau mahabhujau vichitravesha bharanasra gambarau yathanatau uttama vesha dharinau manakshipantau prabhayani rikshatam.
Arrayed with variegated ornaments, garlands and garments, just like pair of excellently costumed actors, the two mighty armed lords shone splendidly in the arena. Indeed, they overpowered the minds of all onlookers with their effulgence.
So Jiva Goswami very wonderfully describes this whole thing, right? How they are looking. But we'll just see Sukadeva Goswami's description. So even ordinary people who are seeing Krishna and Balaram, they developed such highest prema. What to speak of those who are already having some devotion? Someone who is first seeing, for example, you are already a fan of someone. For example, Maharaj is giving lecture. You already know him. You already heard him hundreds of times. You already have an impression about him. And then you like his lecture, what he speaks. You are ready to accept whatever you are. Whatever he is speaking. So you are sitting in the audience and then hearing. For example, a new person comes who never saw Maharaj.
right? He comes and sits in the audience. Then after the talk, he is mesmerized. My God, what all this personality is speaking like that. Same thing happened here also. So those who are already having devotion towards Krishna and Balaram, their devotion increased multiple times. Those who are seeing Krishna for the first time, those who are ordinary people who didn't hear much about Krishna and their activities, they also got so impressed with Krishna. My God, he is so wonderful. Like that. Next, onlookers, Krishna and Balaram, they were stealing the consciousness and the attention of all these people with their effulgence and activities. So, tau rejatau ranga gatau mahabhujau. Rejatau means they are shining. Ranga gatau means ranga is that ranga mandap, this wrestling arena. Gatau, they entered. Mahabhujau. Although they are small children, they are having such mighty arms. Vichitra veshabharana sragambarau. Vichitra means very strange looking, not ordinary. They don't look like ordinary. Garland dal diya aaga, aisa nahi. Some politician coming there with some paper garland or plastic garland. It is not like that. So vichitra veshabharana. Their whole attire is very very unique. Not strange is a very strange word. Unique, you can say. Unique. Vichitra. He is a blue boy wearing a yellow cloth and having different kinds of ornaments and garland. And he has this hairs, locks like tied like this. And then he has some outer cloth. I think just now he has tied it as a turban cloth before killing Kovalaya Peda. And some blood sprinkles are here. And he is wearing that flower, then garland, etc. It looks like a drama artist. Drama ke liye aaya idhar. You don't see people wandering like that. So drama. Right? Yatha natau. They are looking like actors in a drama. Right? Yatha natau uttama vesha dharinau. Uttama vesha. Now even if you see, you all see serial, right? Some serial. Mahabharat. Right? We went and met that people also. Mahabharat makers. Right? So the attires that they present, all the regular people they see and then they become little bewildered. My God, what kind of makeup is this? Right? Somebody is having like this kind of different kind of mukut. Some Ravan is there. If Ravan is having this kind of thing. And some Rakshas, especially the Rakshasas that the modern movie makers picturize. Right? They have this kind of thing, this thing. And some people, they put this naam. And they put this also. Vaishnav Tilak and then Shaiva Tilak. Both are there. Kaunsa Sampradaya. They don't know only. They don't have an understanding of the scripture. Who is a Shaivite? Who is a Vishnu, Vaishnava? That all understanding also they don't have. They put Vichitra Vesha. Now, just like we get wondered by seeing the different kinds of attires in the screen. Similarly, they are seeing on the screen of Ranga. Screen of wrestling arena. Krishna and Balaram are appearing like actors, right? In a different kind of makeup which is not regularly seen, right? Yatha natav uttama vesha dharinav. This is the best possible makeup. All the hairdressers or ornament makers of all the modern movies, serials, etc. They should learn here. Uttama vesha. They can give best, attire to the actor. So, manah kshipantau prabhaya nirikshatam. This is very wonderful line. Manah kshipantau. Mana is mind. Kshipantau means they are striking. It's that attire, that vision of Krishna is very striking to their hearts and minds. Prabhaya nirikshatam. Prabhaya means effulgent. Nirikshatam, they are just looking upon. He's so effulgent and minds are totally overwhelmed. Eyes are stunned. They were just looking at Krishna. Like that. Everyone got attracted. Nirikshata uttama purushau jana. Manchasthitana gara raksh rasta karnupa. Praharsha vego
kalite shananana papurna tripta nayanaistadananam.
O king, as the citizens of the city and the people from the outlying district gazed upon those two supreme personalities from their seats in the galleries, the force of people's happiness caused their eyes to open wide and their faces to blossom. They drank in the vision of Lord's faces without becoming satiated.
No satiation. They have made their eyes as cups to drink the nectarian beauty of Krishna and Balram. Right? They were not satiated. एक बार देख लिया तो बोर हो गया, बार बार आ रहे हैं. नो, दे आर कॉन्स्टेंटली लुकिंग विदाउट एनी ब्लिंकिंग ऑफ आईज ऑल्सो. पिबंत इव चक्षुर्भ्याम लिहंत इव जिह्वया जिघ्रंत इव नासाभ्याम श्लिष्यंत इव बाहुभिः ऊचुः परस्परं ते वै यथादृष्टं यथाश्रितं तद्रूपगुणमाधुर्यं प्रागल्भ्यस्मारिता इव. सो पिबन्त इव चक्षुर्भ्यां, देवर ड्रिंकिंग. चक्षुर्भ्यां मीन्स विथ आईज, देवर ड्रिंकिंग. देयर आईज अपीयर्ड एज इफ देवर ड्रिंकिंग द ब्यूटीज ऑफ कृष्ण एंड बलराम. लिहंत इव जिह्वया, their tongues are appearing as if they are licking Krishna. Right? So means Krishna's form gives satisfaction to all the senses. That's what it means. Right? So all the calves and cows of Vrindavan, they would come and lick Krishna. They are attracted by the beauty of Krishna. They just start licking his body like that. Jighranta eva nasabhyam, their noses were smelling the fragrance of Krishna and Balram. Slishyanta iva bahubhihi. Slishyanta means hugging, embracing. Their hands were as if they were not moving. They were in the galleries only, but they are experiencing all these emotions. They are feeling as if they are embracing Krishna, or kissing Krishna, or seeing Krishna, or drinking Krishna's beauty, like that. Uchuhu parasparam tevai. They started discussing amongst themselves. If something nice is going on, you have a dialogue with your friend, right? In a lecture, wow, what point he has made. In a movie, what scene it is, what graphics are there. In a singing performance, so like that we kind of discuss with amongst people, right? Even Lavakusha, when they came to Ayodhya, and then they were singing the glories of Lord Ram, they were singing Ramayana. Then all the Ayodhya Vasis, they were discussing amongst themselves. They were hearing about Ram from Lavakusha, and they're saying, what pastime, how they are describing, how nicely they are singing like that, they were doing like this, right? Such a point, like this. You see, some of our Bhagavatam classes, so one person will do like this, and then they will look at each other. That's what was happening. Then Lord Ram was sitting on the throne and watching the whole show. But I think I'm not relishing as much as the citizens are relishing. Right? They were relishing more, because whom will Lord Ram slap like this? He doesn't have anyone sitting on the throne next to him. Right? Sita is also not there now. Sita, he banished Sita. So Ram was not experiencing that ecstasy. Right? He's not so excited as much as the citizens are excited. So Lord Ram, what he did? He caught all his ornaments, which might make sound, and then very slowly he came down from his throne, came down, sat in the midst of the citizens and started hearing. And they were also observed, he's also observed. Now that is going on. Okay, they are beating Lord Ram. And he's experiencing that bliss more. Like that. So all the Ayodhya Vasis, now Mathura Vasis, they were discussing amongst themselves. Uchuhu parasparam tevai. Yatha drishtam yatha shrutam. The way they are seeing and the way they have heard. Now they are directly seeing. Whatever they are seeing, they are giving. They are discussing amongst themselves. Now you see, logically it may appear redundant. Right?
So now, for example, in a class, that is regular affair for us. So a speaker is making a point, you like that point. Gauranga Prabhu is giving some class, he's speaking some Prabhupada pastime, for example. And then you are familiar with that pastime or you are impressed with that pastime. And then you share that pastime with your friend during the lecture only. That's a point, you know. See what Prabhupada has spoken. Oh, see how Prabhupada has done, like that. It seems redundant. Already in a mic, that point is being spoken, and hundreds of people are hearing that point, and you are speaking to your friend is redundant. But that only exhibits one's excitement and appreciation for that point. Right? That's an acknowledgement to the glory of that point that is made in the class. Like that. So, yatha drishtam, they are seeing Krishna, but they are also speaking about what they have seen. Are, suno na, why are you speaking to me? That someone may say like that, but he is speaking out of his ecstasy. He got impressed with that, that's why he wants to share it. Like that. So, yatha drishtam, yatha shrutam, whatever they have heard. Because before Krishna and Balaram entered this wrestling arena only, they have heard. All these citizens have heard about Krishna and Balaram. Tad rupa guna madhurya. What they are seeing and what they are discussing is this. Tad rupa, Krishna's form. Guna, qualities. Madhurya, sweetness. Pragalbhya smarita iva. Right? So pragalbhya means bravery. Smarita iva. They are all reminded of that. My God, these two small, young, sweet boys, they are so brave. They have killed Kovalaya Pida, right? They have killed so many guards of that Shivadhanu. They have killed this Dhobi, washerman, like that. They were discussing like that. So, now, Krishna is blackish. Plus, he is smeared with some red blood. And he has a tusk on his hand which is white. So, all this color combination is also appearing very sweet. Rich colors. So naturally those who assembled, and while they are discussing about Krishna's pastimes also, they were not so much in chronology. Random. He's speaking that. Someone else got reminded of something else and then they are speaking that. Like that. There is no chronology. They are just speaking. It's not systematic. It's thematic. Whatever. Not thematic. It is ecstatic. Or it is random, like that. So, now last sentence I will read. Krishna is the embodiment of all beauty, fame and opulence, and therefore those assembled in the wrestling arena became fully satisfied by glorifying what they have heard and saw about him. So let's see what are the talks of various people. 12 o'clock. We'll take a break. Hare Krishna. Eto Bhagavata Sakshad Dharer Narayanasya Hi Avatir Nau Iham Shena Vasudevasya Veshmani.
The people said, these two boys are certainly expansions of Supreme Lord Narayan, who have descended to this world in the home of Vasudev.
So, eto bhagavata sakshad. So, they are directly the Supreme Lord. Eto means two. Both Krishna and Balaram, they are directly the Supreme Lords. Right? Dharer Narayanasya hi. They are expansions of Supreme Lord Narayan. So, these are talks of citizens. You can't quote them as authoritative. So they are, this is their understanding. Actually, Narayan is an expansion of Balaram. Right? But the here description is coming like that. So you should always remember Paribhasha Sutra. That is the commander. And all others are followers. If something is not following, you should interpret that in such a way that it follows that. Right? Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam. And they have descended to this world in the home of Vasudev, like that. So, they have not descended from the womb.
right? Because they cannot undergo any material transformation as amshas of Narayana. Yashavai kila devakyam jato anitas chagokulam kalam etam vasan gudho vavriddhe ananda veshmani. Now they are speaking about Krishna specifically. But this person, Esha, earlier Etau. Etau Bhagavata Sakshat, here Eshavai, Kila Devakyam. So this person, Krishna, he took birth from Mother Devaki. Jato Nitascha Gokulam. And then he was brought to Gokul after that. Then Kalam Etam Vashan Gudho Vavruddhe Nanda Vishmani. So all this time he was remaining Gudha, concealed in the house of Nanda Maharaj, like that. Now they are kind of summarizing all the leelas of Vrindavan. Putananena nitanam nitantam chakravatascha danava arjunau guhyaka keshi dhenukonye cha tadvidhaha. So putana anena nitantam. So he brought about the end of putana. And second, chakravata ascha danava. Chakravata danava. Chakravata is whirlwind. Trinavarta. So he killed him also. Then Arjunav means Yamala Arjuna trees. The two twin trees, Nalakuvera Manigriva. He collapsed them. Then Guhyaka Keshi. So Guhyaka is a demon named Shankachuda. Right? So he killed him. Then Keshi, he killed him also. Then Dhenukasara also he killed. Then Anyaja Tadvidaha. Like this he has killed so many other people. Now here they are saying that Krishna has killed Dhenukasara. But Balramji has killed. Right? So these are not factual statements. But what happened is, when the news of Vrindavan is coming from, you know, different mouths to Mathura, it got little middled and facts got little changed, right? So what Krishna killed, people thought Balram killed. What Balramji killed, Krishna, people thought Krishna has killed. So like that. So that's how they were discussing, right? And modern newspapers also, what happened is different and what is spoken is, what is printed is different. And even in our communication also, right? Prabhuji ne aapko ye karne ke liye bola. And the way he communicates it is, are kuch karta hai nahi tum? Prabhuji said, he asked him to do some action, right? You are just lazily sitting like this. And that's what, all that he didn't say. Can you request him to do that? That's what the Prabhuji might have spoken, but it went to that person in a different tone, like that. So facts got little different. That is there in those days also. What to speak of now? You are from Kali Yuga. Gavasapala etena.
Gavasapala etena.
Davagnehe parimochitaha.
Kaliyo
damita sarpa.
Indrascha vimada krita.
So gavasapala etena davagnehe parimochitaha. Means, along with the cows, he saved the cowherd boys from Davagni by swallowing this forest fire. Right? Simple Sanskrit. All these chapters are having very simple Sanskrit. Kaliyo damita sarpa. Sarpa is sarpayati iti sarpaha. Sarpayati means moving. Right? So, one who moves is called sarpa. Right? Not everybody. What I'm saying is in a different way. So he damayati, he subdued, he did not kill, he subdued Kaliya. Indrascha vimadahkritaha, he humbled Indra by lifting Govardhan. Then shapatham ekahastena, saptaham ekahastena, dhritodri pravaromuna, varshavatana, varshavatashanebhyascha, paritratam cha gokulam. So saptaham, one full week.
ekahastena with one hand dhrito adri parvatomuna, he lifted the Govardhan parvat. Then varsha vata ashani, so he protected all the citizens of Vrindavan from rain and from thunderbolts and all other things, right? So most imminent, most dangerous, furious. Vata is also wind. Varsha is rain, vata is wind. Then ashani is ashanibhya means hail and hailstorms and other things. So he delivered them, Gokul. Then 28th verse. Gopyosya nitya mudita hasita prekshanam mukham pashyanto vividham stapam taranti smashramam muda. Gopyo asya nitya mudita, right? There were some special women, gopis. They are constantly cheerful, always cheerful. Nitya mudita. Mudita means being very happy, jolly. So nitya mudita means they are always happy, always cheerful. Hasita prekshanam mukham pashyanto. So what these gopis do is they interact with Krishna, right? With cheerful smiles, hasita, prekshanam, glances. Hasita is smile, prekshanam is glances. Mukham pashyanto vividham stapam staranti. Mukham pashyanto means by seeing the beautiful face of Krishna, vividham stapam, various types of miseries are vanquished. Like that. Pashtapam staranti smashramam muda. Right? Varantisma. Tarantisma means transcending. Sma shramam. Ashramam means fatigue. Muda, happily. They happily transcended all kinds of fatigue and unhappiness by being able to see his face, which is always cheerful and smiling glances. Here Nitya Mudita is applied to Krishna. Right? Gopyosya Nitya Mudita. Right? Some women with special bhava have spoken these words. Right? So now so far some demon killing episodes are there. So you can't say that only one person is speaking all these verses. So different people are speaking different verses. Like that. So there could be a lot of distress because of obstacles and scoldings of husbands and fathers-in-law. All the gopis are stopped by their family members from meeting Krishna. Right? But still, they forgot all that distress when they saw the beautiful face of Krishna. Like that. 29th verse. Vatantyanena vamshoyam
yado
subahu vishruta shriyam yasho mahatvam cha lapsyate parirakshita.
It is said that under his full protection, the Yadu dynasty will become extremely famous and attain wealth, glory and power.
Okay. Yadu dynasty will become extremely glorious. Even the ladies of Hastinapur also said, Aho alam shlaghyatamam madhorvanam, Aho alam dhanyatamam yador yadohkulam. Like that one verse comes. Where? Anyone remembers? You should remember. Ah, Krishna departing to Dwarka, 1.10. Right? Same thing they are also saying. Now they speak of the pastimes at Mathura. Okay? Next, ayam chasya graja shriman ramah kamalalochana pralambo nihato yena vatsako ye bakadaya. Now they are speaking about Balramji, right? They say that he is Shriman. He is possessor of all opulences. Ramaha Kamala Lochanaha. He is having lotus eyes. Pralambo Nihato Yena. He killed Pralamba. Then Vatsakocha Ye Bakadayaha. He killed Vatsasur and then Bakasur. But actually Krishna killed him. That's how things got changed. So now to stop or interrupt the citizens' talks, instruments sounded out of envy. Because when they came, they entered Rizling Arena, all the citizens got attracted to them and then they were glorifying, praising them. And the main attendants of Kamsa, they became envious. These people are glorifying. What's happening? They could not tolerate that public praise. They immediately wanted to stop it. They can't stop. They started beating drums. Then they got the citizens' attention got diverted. Oh, okay. Abhi Rizling Arena will start. Match will start. Like that. So, if you cannot tolerate someone's prominence, you somehow try to obstruct it. Someone is being praised. For example, somebody is praising one of your batchmates and then you have some issue with him. Right? He's going on praising and you are unable to tolerate it only. Then you divert the topic by saying something else. Or you just go somewhere else. Are you, kya ho, pata hai kya? Then you kind of speak about something else. Like that. Somehow interrupt that person because they are unable to tolerate. Why is he appreciating so much? He is not so good as much as he is saying. Like that. Same thing is happening with these people. Okay. Next. Now we need actually Acharya's purports to understand this. Now if someone literally sees these verses, which are not actually facts, and then Acharya suddenly gives a commentary that, oh, when the news from Vrindavan came to Mathura, things got little changed. Oh, then that makes things clear. Oh, that's why they are saying like this. Why they are saying like this? Then we start doubting if we see only the verses without reading commentaries. Getting right? So Acharyas give us the right understanding of things.
Janeshvevam Bruvaneshu Turyeshu Ninadastucha Krishna Ramo Samabhashya Chanuro Vakyama Bravit.
Read.
While the people talked in this way, the musical instrument resounded. The wrestler Chanura addressed Krishna and Balram with following words.
So they started speaking to Krishna and Balram. Chanura, Mushtika, Kota, Shala, Toshala, etc. Okay. So Chanura also could not tolerate the audience praising Krishna so much. Right? So he started speaking. Some of the people, they started sounding some drums. And Chanura, Mushtika, and they started having a dialogue with Krishna. Then people's attention get diverted and then they start focusing on what Chanura is saying. Like that. So here, vakyam can also be read as avakyam. That means unsuitable and cruel words he spoke. See what he will speak. Mocking. 32.
He nandasu no he rama. Bhavantau vira sammatau. Niyuddha kushalau shrutva. Ragnahutau didrukshana.
O son of Nanda, O Rama, you two are well respected by courageous men and are both skillful at wrestling. Having heard of your prowess, the king has called you here, wanting to see for himself.
So, hey Nandasuno, O son of Nanda Maharaj. Right? So, Nanda was Krishna's true father, actually. That's a positive meaning. Then, hey Rama, means he can give pleasure to all. So now give us pleasure by fighting. So bhavanto virasammato. Virasammato means you are very well respected by very heroes, by great heroes. Virasammato. Sammato means acceptance. Who accepted them? Heroes. Big heroes also accepted them. Niyuddha kushalau shrutva ragna hutau didrikshuna. So, actually, apparently they are positive praises. Apparently he is praising Krishna and Balaram, but he was so sarcastic, so low-minded. How he is speaking, you see, "Hey Nandasuno," by addressing Krishna like that, he is saying that you are a low-born person. Nanda, who is Nanda? A Vaishya. And you are son of a Vaishya, cowherd community. You are so low in front of us. That's what he meant. "Hey Rama." Rama means, here Balarama, what he was thinking is, your parentage is unknown. You are born of Rohini and you are staying in Vrindavan and you are son of Vasudev. And it's like you are totally unattended child. You know, you are, your parentage is unknown. Right? She was very cruelly mocking Krishna and Balaram and minimizing their glory. That's what he meant actually by saying these words. Right? Next, 33rd verse. "Priyam Ragnaha Prakritayaha Shreyo Vindanti Vai Prajaha Manasa Karmana Vacha Vipritam Atonyatha."
The subjects of the king who try to please him with their thoughts, acts and words are sure to achieve good fortune. But those who fail to do so will suffer the opposite fate.
See, priyam ragnaha prakurvyatyaha shreyo vindanti vai prajaha manasa karmana vacha. Manasa karmana vacha, you should serve the Lord. But these fellows were saying, manasa vacha karmana, you serve the king, then you will get shreyo. You will get auspiciousness, right? This is what other people will say. Everyone will say. Then viparitam atho anyatha. If you do something else, opposite to this, then you will get opposite results. With your manasa, karmana, vacha, if you don't serve the orders of the king, then you will get opposite results. You will not get shreya. You will not get auspiciousness. You will get inauspiciousness. Like that. So, you should not refuse the fight. That's what they say. But Krishna and Balaram might say, we are cowherds, we don't know wrestling. Right? What is king's order here? To wrestle. Right? To fight with these two, with all these fighters, wrestlers. But Krishna and Balaram might say, we are cowherd boys, gopas, how can we fight wrestling? You tell us to tend cows, we will do it. Right? So they are responding. "Nityam pramudita gopa. Vatsapala yathasputam Vaneshumalla yuddhena Kridantas charayantigaha."
It is well known that cowherd boys are always joyful as they tend their cows, and that the boys playfully wrestle with each other while gazing their animals in various forests.
So, don't say that you don't know wrestling. You are not used to wrestling. We know. "Nityam pramudita gopa vatsapala yathasputam." Every day you go into the forest with great happiness. Then vaneshu malla yuddhena. In vana, in the forest, you do malla yuddha. Right? Sridhama, Sudhama and Krishna, Balaram, they all start wrestling with amongst each other. Like that. So one day when they were wrestling, so Krishna was playing with, I think, Sridhama. Right? He was having so many scratches on his body. Krishna, Yashodama is sorry. My God, these boys are so mischievous. See how Krishna's body has so many scratches. Like the Yashodama was wondering once. They were doing so much of Malla Yuddha there. And that's a match for them. It's a regular play for all these gopas. Huh? Yeah, the proper wrestling means you bachelo, you are kids. You do playful, malla yuddha as a mocking, as a play. But here it's a wrestling match. So that also can mean their negative intent. Right? So they are saying as a joke only. This whole entire thing is joke. Sarcastic. So Now Krishna and Balaram might say, yes, what you said is true, but we wrestle with cow heads, not mountain like warriors like you. We are wrestling with boys. I am a 10-year-old boy, I wrestle with another 10-year-old boy, that's a proper match. But you people are so huge, so experienced, so elderly, how can we wrestle with you? They say. Then the Chanura is replying, Tasmadragna priyam yuyam, vayam chakaravamahe, bhutanina prasidanti, sarvabhutamayonrupa. What he says is, tasmad ragna priyam yuyam. You are giving so many arguments, but what is the final argument that we can give is, Raja, king has ordered us. Tasmad ragna priyam yuyam. Vayam cha karavamate. We all are supposed to be obliged by king's orders, right? So by doing that, we will please everyone, we will be pleased. And how we will please everyone? Because king is the embodiment of all living beings. By pleasing the order of the king, we will please everyone. Like that. So sarvabhutamayo nripaha. Nripa is king. Tannishamya bravit krishna deshakalochitam vachaha niyuddham atvano bhishtam manyamano abhinandyacha. So Krishna is saying, Krishna is responding to this challenge. So he also liked to wrestle. He also welcomed the challenge. He replied with appropriate words. What are they? Manyamano abhinandyacha. Right? Desha kalochitam vachaha. So he spoke in such a way that is very much suiting the circumstances and the timing there. Like that. Let's see what he says. Prajabhojapate rasya vayamcha pivane charaha karavama priyam nityam tannah paramanugraha. He says, Prajabhojapate rasya vayam chapi vanecharah. We are vanecharah. We are wanderers of forest. Forest dwellers. Right? We are also subjects of Bhoja king. He says, Praja Bhojapate rasya. Yes, what you are saying is true. Praja means citizens of Bhojapate. Although we are forest dwellers, we are also the citizens of Kamsa. But actually what he is saying is, we are forest dwellers, we are not the citizens of Kamsa. Right there, like that. So we are supposed to be living in the forest. Right? So we must gratify his desires. Karavama priyam nityam tannah param anugraha. So we are obliged by his request, so we should follow his orders. That will bring us param anugraha. Great benediction, it's upon us. So, but what does it mean? What Krishna internally means is, we do it not to please Kamsa, but to please our Gopa boys, our friends. If we fight with you, every day we are fighting with them. Today when you are fighting with you, then they will feel happy. So to give them pleasure, we will fight. Like that. So actually, in the 37th verse, Krishna is speaking very respectfully to Chanura, but it's a very deep disrespect. Right? We are Vanachara, king, Bhoja, king of Bhoja. If he says something, why should we at all give any importance to that? Like that. It's spoken with indifference and disrespect. Balavayam tulya balaihi Kridishyamo yathochitam bhavenni yuddham ma dharma sprishenmalla sabhasadaha. Then again he said another point. Balavayam tulya balaihi. Balavayam means we are bacha, we are balas, we are small children. young boys, we should play with people who are equal in strength to us. Balavayam tulya balaihi. Tulya means equal, balaihi means strength. We should wrestle with someone who is of equal strength. Kridayishyamo yathochitam. That will be uchita. Uchit hoga. If I wrestle with some boy, that will be appropriate. So bhavenni yuddham madharmaha. So if I wrestle with you, is it not adharma? That is adharma. Right, there is, we are not matching with each other. Sprishyan malla sabhasadaha. So adharma sprishyan malla sabhasada. This entire assembly of respectable members, this wrestling arena, this assembly, everybody will be tainted with irreligion by arranging a match between two inappropriate combats. Right? So a child and an experienced wrestler, they are fighting with each other. That is adharma. And this adharma will taint everybody in this assembly. Right? The wrestling match must go on properly so that religion, irreligion does not taint the respectable members. Like that. So but we will wrestle at your insistence because we are obedient. Although it is adharma, still we will wrestle with you. So it's not my fault. Krishna is meaning that it's not my fault if you die. It's definitely improper. From Krishna's side, what he is meaning is, apparently he said, we are children, you are elderly. It's improper. But I am all powerful and you are insignificant. That is why it is improper. Right? Don't blame me when you die next time. Later. So, you will die definitely because of touching my limbs which are like thunderbolts. Because Krishna is Mallana Mashanir. He is like thunderbolt to the wrestlers. Right? He is like butter, soft body to, you know, loving devotees. Now Chandura is saying, counter. Nabalona kishorastvam balascha parinam varaha लीलेभ्यो हतो येन सहस्रद्वीप सत्त्वभृत् सी न बालो न किशोरस्त्वम् यू आर नॉट बाला यू आर नॉट चाइल्ड्स यू आर नॉट इन बाल्य एज न किशोरः यू आर नॉट इवन यूथ आल्सो यू आर बियॉन्ड दैट सो बलश्च बलिनां वरः अमंगस्ट ऑल दि स्ट्रांग पीपल यू आर द स्ट्रांगेस्ट पीपल Balinam varaha, you are the best of all strongest people. Then leela yebhyo hato yena, just as a leela, as a play, as a pastime, you have just killed elephant Kovalaya Pida. Sahasra dvipa sattva brit. And that Kovalaya Pida has the strength of thousands of elephants and you have killed just like a play. How can we say that you are a small child or a youth, young fellow? You are not like that. We are proper combat with you. Like that. He acknowledged Krishna's strength. Tasmad bhavadbhyam balibhir yodhavyam nanyathotravai mayi vikarma vashnena balena saha mushtikaha. So finally he just is deciding, getting into decision making. Right? Therefore, you both should wrestle with us. And it's not unfair at all. There is no adharma here. It's properly dharma. You have sufficient strength to fight with us. So, you fight with me, Chandura is saying. Chandura is saying, Krishna, you fight with me. And Balram will fight with Mushtika. Right? I'm deciding. No more arguments. Like that. Now let's discuss from Garga Samhita some extra points. So Krishna said, they died because without cause they showed hatred and sinful conduct towards us. Indra's pride was cut down spontaneously, so the sacrificial festival could take place. We are just cowherd boys. Dhenuka was an old bull infested with bugs. His skin was torn in trying to throw off various people riding on him. He crumbled when we just touched him. Basically, Krishna and Balaram are being glorified as killers of so many demons. Right now, Krishna is giving a counter argument. First, the elephant came to kill me. I fled in fear. The elephant drove its tusks into the earth to strike me and could not remove them. Right? So, elephant came to attack and then tusks went into the ground and it could not remove them. Right? The elephant, when the elephant pulled this way, the tusks broke. Right? That's how we got these tusks. It's not that we didn't remove. And in that attempt to remove the tusks and then get released from earth only, the elephant died. We didn't kill anything. We didn't kill them. Like that. So people by looking thought that I was the cause of the elephant's death. Right? And all these elephant keepers, they died because of being crushed under the feet of the elephant. We didn't kill them. Right? Don't think otherwise. Then Chanvara said, you are hiding your sinful activities by trying to show humility. Right? The king is not unhappy with these events. He has sent you people having long-lasting pride in order to curb their arrogance since they were useless for protecting him. He wants to exchange them for you two only for increasing his own strength. So Krishna is saying, this is most astonishing luck for us. However, you embrace us with praise. You are hiding your sinful activities, basically brave activities, by showing humility. Then, oh, don't embarrass us. So Krishna is also in a different way. You are praising us so much. Krishna said, I didn't kill. This is the way in which the elephant was killed. And he said, don't lie. You only killed. He said, oh, don't embarrass us. You are praising us. We will serve the king. No problem. Right? So, and we are little reserved because we are not expert in the art of wrestling. Then Chanvara said, don't uselessly hide the truth. We have heard what is well known. The cowherds in tending their flocks practice our art and you should follow the order of the king. And then Krishna said, since we are forest people, we do not have knowledge of this great art, but following your order, we are ready to serve the king by wrestling. Like that. Now, who are these wrestlers? Chanura, Mushtika, Kuta, Shala, Toshala. We will discuss from Garga Samhita. So, in the ancient times, there was a king named Utatya. So, Utatya, he lived in Amaravati. He had 5 sons, very handsome, like the Cupid. Utatya has 5 sons. So, what they did was, these 5 sons were sent to some school, Vidyapit. Right? They were sent to Vidyapit to learn mantra chanting, sloka recitation. Right? So, these wild sons, leaving the Vidyapit schedule, leaving the sloka recitation class, they went into some wrestling camp of King Bali Maharaj. Right? And they started studying wrestling daily. You are leaving Vidyapit classes and then learning some... what to say? I don't know. That wrestling may not happen here. You joined Gurukul. Gurukul may be wrestling hota hai. Akhada. We have akhada there. Right? You joined there. Kabaddi. Koko. And then they have started this stick fighting also. Right? Leaving your Vidyapit sloka recitation. If you go there, it's like that. So Utatya very angrily spoke to the sons. You have neglected your Vedic studies and Brahmanical culture. And you are learning wrestling? What's happening? You all become wrestlers. Like that. Then he gave a very wonderful talk. Peacefulness, self-control, and austerity, purity, then tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, religiousness, etc. They are all works of Brahmanas. Right, but heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage, etc. They are work of Kshatriyas. And farming, cow protection, etc. They are work of the Vaishyas. And labor work is the service of Sudras. You are born as Brahmanas. This sage, Utatya, is saying, his sons, you are born as Brahmanas and you are trying to practice wrestling art. You become wrestlers. Like that. But And not only that, you associate with demoniac people. Where did they go to see the wrestling or learn the wrestling? They went to Bali Maharaj's camp. And Bali is a demon. You are learning wrestling at in the association of demons. So now in your next life, you all become wrestlers and associate with demoniac people like Kamsa. That is the curse. Right? I curse you to become wrestlers in Bharatavarsha. By associating with demons, you become demons yourselves. In this way, that sage Utathya cursed his sons, and the sons became wrestlers. And they all attained liberation after Krishna killed them. Okay? This is the past of this.
Shri Shuka Uvacha,
Evam Charchita Sankalpo,
भगवान मधुसूदन
आसासादित चाणूरम
मुष्टिकम रोहिणी सुतः।
सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड, दस एड्रेस लॉर्ड कृष्णा मेड अप हिज माइंड टू एक्सेप्ट द चैलेंज ही पेड ऑफ विद चारुण एंड लॉर्ड बलराम विद मुष्टिक।
ओके, हस्ताभ्याम हस्तयोर बद्ध्वा पद्भ्याम एव च पादयोः विचकर्षुर अन्योन्यम् प्रहस्य विजिगीषय।
सीजिंग ईच अदर्स हैंड एंड लॉकिंग लेग्स विथ ईच अदर द ओपोनेंट स्ट्रगल पावरफुली ईगर फॉर विक्ट्री।
सो द ईगरनेस फॉर विक्ट्री इज देयर इन एनी फाइट, बट when Krishna is playing this pastime of fighting, he is also exhibiting his eagerness for victory. When a match is going on, both teams are eager for victory. So Krishna, being absorbed in whatever leelas he is performing, he also is exhibiting his eagerness for victory. Read the next translation. They struck each other, right, with fists. Fists against fists, knees against knees, head against head, and chest against chest. Like that they fight. Like that. So Krishna started inventing new ways of playing flute in Vrindavan. Now he is inventing new ways of fighting. You can read Chakvatpa's commentary on this verse.
Pariram paribhramana vikshepa pariram bhavapatanaihi utsarpana pas पर सर्पणैः चान्योन्यं प्रत्यरुन्धताम्।
Each fighter contended with his opponent by dragging him about in circles, showing and crushing him, throwing him down and running before and behind him.
So these are all various ways, various techniques of wrestling, right? Paribhramana means by wheeling the other person, right? Whirling him. Then vikshepa, showing. Showing, what is the meaning? Alexis Prabhu, what is showing? Okay, fine. Parirambha, crushing. Avapatanaihi, throwing down. Utsarpana, releasing and running in front. Right? You just fight something and then you leave him and then start running. That is also part of, it's not like showing back to the opponent, isn't it? So that's a part of this Malla Yuddha. Like that. Then pushing, like that. So parirambha, grabbing others in hands and then whirling him around. So like that, there are various techniques. So while doing all this, Krishna and Balaram were not harming themselves. Right? They were absorbed in the fighting. By involving in all these techniques, they were only showing their absorption in fighting Leela. In one moment they can kill them, but still they are enjoying, making some fun. Right? Even in preaching is like declaring war against Maya. Right? So Krishna in this war, he is exhibiting so many techniques of fighting. So in preaching also, we may have to exhibit so many techniques as per the situation demands. Right?
Then, उत्थापनेर उन्नयनैः
चालनैहि स्थापनैरपि परस्परं जिघीषान्तौ अपचक्रतुरात्मनः.
Forcefully lifting and carrying each other, pushing each other away and holding each other down, the fighters hurt even their own bodies in their great eagerness for victory.
Okay. Fighters hurt their own bodies, but Krishna Balaram did not. Next, read the translation.
My dear king, all the women present, considering the match and an unfair fight between the strong and the weak, felt extreme anxiety due to compassion. They assembled in groups around the arena and spoke to one another as follows.
See, this is exciting. So Sukadeva Goswami briefly described the fight and then elaborately described the emotions of the women, especially, who are seeing the match. Next 10 verses are that discussion amongst the women.
Mahan ayam bata dharma. Yesham raja sabhasadam. Yebala balavad yuddham. Ragno nvichanti pashyataha.
The women said, alas, what a greatly irreligious act the members of this royal assembly are committing. As the king watches this fight between the strong and the weak, they also want to see it.
So, first they began by giving gali to the organizers of the occasion. Mahan ayam vata adharma. This is the greatest act of irreligion on the part of Raja Sabhasadam. All the attendants of the king, royal ministers or whatever, they have organized this. But this is the greatest adharma. Right? So, ye bala abalavat yuddham. A bala and abala, strong and weak, they are fighting with each other. Child and a very experienced man, they are fighting. So it is, and they also want to see it. They organized it very shamelessly and they are sitting and witnessing this match as if it is an appropriate activity. Right? Now you can see the seriousness and the gravity of the situation. A small child, you take some Gurukul boy, who is that? What is his name? Tanmay, Kaivalya. Kaivalya and Sridhar Nimai. Right? Just arrange a wrestling match between them. How it will look like in our Gurukul ground. And if all the brahmacharis are standing on the gallery and watching it, what will the congregation say? Right? Abala, abala, balavad yuddham. Right? So it's a huge person and then the small boy. They are fighting with each other. Of course, that may be for fun or whatever. But all these women were feeling like that. So, why should the respectable members desire to see it? Then all these compassionate women are especially offended and enraged by such unfair violence. So, women are very soft-hearted. They are affected the most. Although everyone is affected, every person who is sane, sane people are affected, but women are much more affected. That's the symptom of their natural affection for Krishna. And also that shows their unawareness of Krishna's superior strength. Like that. So, it's like attachment to an object or a person makes one see injustice when that person is dealt with inappropriately. Now, one thing is, as a neutral observer, you see something injustice is going on. For example, you are passing by and then you see some small, you are going to catch train in Virar. Right? On the way you had to walk a distance, maybe half kilometer. On the way you see one strong person is beating a small child to do some work. You may see and then take some compassion. Right? You may have some whereby this fellow is inappropriate, he is engaging this child laborer, whatever. You may feel some kindness towards that person and then you can't do much, you move ahead. If that child happens to be your relative or your community member or
one of your contacts or the child of someone who you know very closely, then it becomes even more intense. That compassionate feeling or kindness will become even more intense, and you may even take a step to go and question that person also. So, depending on how attached are we to certain object or a person, to that extent we get affected when some injustice is happening to that person. These women are not just neutrally judging this whole scene and then saying that it is injustice. They are having some bias towards Krishna also. They are having some love and affection towards Krishna also. That is added element, extra element. There is some extra personal attachment also. It's not a neutral evaluation. It's a personalized evaluation. Like that. So, an unfulfillment of one's desires make one condemn the opposite party if he's an obstruction for fulfillment of one's desire. What is the desire of all these men? To see Krishna and Balram happy. Sweet. But they are being dealt with inappropriately. So that made them condemn even their own king, being the citizens of the that king. Like that. So Duryodhan was attached to the kingdom, right? Undue attachment to the kingdom. He condemned Vidura, right? You get out of this place, like that. Because Vidura was presenting some obstacle and Duryodhan rebuked Vidura because of his attachment to the kingdom. Similarly, these ladies were condemning the organizers of this wrestling match because of their attachment to Krishna. It's not just neutral, right? It is more personal, like that. So, and also, they were unaware of Krishna's strength, Balram's strength, like that. So, blind, being unaware all of truth also makes one blind. Even it's either by negative emotion or positive emotion. Either by lust or greed. For example, Duryodhan is there. He was lusty and greedy. Lusty for the kingdom, greedy for the kingdom. So he was unaware of what is appropriate and inappropriate. He was ridiculing Krishna, he was ridiculing Vidura. Right? And these ladies, they were imbued with love and compassion. They were also having unawareness of the strength of Krishna and Balram. Right? So they were ridiculing people who are trying to cause harm. Like that. But one more thing. Common men follow leaders out of respect or reverence or for reward or out of fear. Three things. Respect, reward, or fear, or some obligation, or whatever. These are the ways in which one may act obedient to a superior even when there is no love and affection. Right? But if one's love and affection towards some object or a person becomes so overwhelming and so intense, these people will come out of the bounds of that respect or reward or fear or anything, and then they start rebelling. These women are exhibiting that. These women are exhibiting rebellious attitude towards their rulers, although they are in the weaker section because of their attachment to Krishna. Same thing happened with the gopis of Vrindavan also. So gopis of Vrindavan, they were bound by the social customs, right? So far, whenever Krishna is coming out of some obstacle or something, and then they wanted to go and embrace Krishna or whatever, meet with Krishna, but social customs kind of stopped them. And they were happy also. They were in feelings of separation, but they were maintaining distance from Krishna. Now Krishna is being taken away from Vrindavan, right? Now they couldn't tolerate. Now social customs cannot stop us. Family members cannot stop us. Elders and husbands and brothers, they cannot stop us. We have to stop because nobody is stopping Krishna from going out of Vrindavan. So we have to go out and then stop these horses. Beat this Akrura. Beat the chariot driver. Somehow stop Krishna and Balaram from going away from Vrindavan. Like that. So, all the whatever boundary lines, what is that called? Fence, right? Within which one has to stay, that will be broken if one's internal desire overwhelms him so much. So, all these ladies were experiencing these emotions.
Kvavajra sara sarvangau. Mallau Shailendra Sannibhau Kvachati Sukumarangau Kishorau Napta Yauvanau.
What comparison can there be between these two professional wrestlers with limbs as strong as lightning bolts and bodies resembling mighty mountains? And these two young, immature boys with exceedingly tender limbs.
So this particular verse, all these women were speaking by pointing out their fingers like this. Right? Kva vajrasara sarvangav. Right? So vajrasara means the strength of a lightning. Right? Sarvangav. So where are people whose bodies are like, whose limbs are as strong as thunderbolts? And Mallav Shailendra Sannibhav. Mallav, all these mallas, these wrestlers, they are Shailendra. They are like mountains. Mountains and thunderbolts. Where are their limbs and their bodies? And where are Krishna and Balaram, who are like Kva Cha Ati Sukumarangav. Very delicate limbs. Very soft and tender limbs. Kaishorav na aptayavanav. They are Kaishora, very simple youth people, right? Young people, immature, right? Not even having attained their yavana. Kaishora is the stage before yavana. Kaishorav na aptayavanav. They are so young, they have not even reached their youth stage also. And where are their bodily limbs and physical strengths, and what is the comparison between them and these thunderbolt, mountain-like wrestlers? Right? So it's natural for a sensitive person to not support an improper act. So these people are also exhibiting that tendency. Just like someone in mode of goodness, he cannot tolerate anything unclean. Now if this room is like so unclean, so many things are dumped here, or some water is flowing, or some kachra is there, or some old garland is there, or some food remnants are thrown here. Someone who is in mode of goodness cannot tolerate that scene. You immediately come and then wipe it off. Spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then make it proper. Right? Similarly, some injustice is going on, they cannot tolerate. Not only their evaluation of justice and injustice, they are also overwhelmed with affection and love for Krishna and Balaram. See, this is added. This is extra. It's not just mere evaluation of the incident based on moral codes and nyaya. It is much beyond that. There is love. Like a love platform. Ten and a half years. 10 and a half to 11, like that.
Dharma vyatikramo hyasya samajasya dhruvam bhavet yatra dharma samutheshtyam nasteyam tatra karhichit.
Religious principles have certainly been violated in this assembly. One should not remain for even a moment in a place where irreligion is flourishing.
So one should not stay here at all. Irreligion is flourishing here.
Next, nasabham pravishet prajnah sabhyadoshan anusmaran abruvan vibruvan agno narah kilbishamashnute.
A wise person should not enter an assembly if he knows the participants there are committing acts of impropriety. And if, having entered such an assembly, he fails to speak the truth, speak falsely, or pleads ignorance, he will certainly incur sin.
So he is saying, they are saying, Nasabham Pravishet Prajnaha. Prajna means intelligent person. So they would not even enter an assembly where injustice is happening. Right? Sabhya Doshan Anusmaran. So Sabhya means all the assembly members. Doshan Anusmaran. So the Dosha means faults, sins. Right? So if one enters an assembly where injustice is being done, all the assembly members will have to take the fruit of that injustice. Right? For example, in Mahabharata, right, lot of great injustice has happened to Draupadi. And everyone was sitting there and then watching the show. Right? Although they had the ability and enough knowledge and other experience to evaluate it and then stop it, still nobody could stop it. Right? So injustice happened. Injustice was allowed to happen. None of them were spared. Everybody was punished. Right? Including Drona and Bhishma. Everybody was had to undergo that. Right? Of course, Bhishma was playing a very different role as a servant of Krishna, but nobody was spared. So, if someone is silently tolerating the injustice, he has to undergo the reaction. If he has ability, he should stop that injustice. If he has no ability, he should leave that place. He should not simply sit and witness. Same thing happens with Vaishnava Prad also. If someone is blaspheming the Lord or an exalted Vaishnava, someone has to cut the tongue of the offender or kill him. And he personally commits suicide. If he can't do anything, get out of the place. Like that. See, these are all recommended ways. So, abruvan vibruvan agno narah kilbishamashnuti. Like that. Now, they are saying that Krishna, but Krishna and Balaram are not appearing to be tired. They don't look tired of this wrestling match. Now, another woman, another set of women. Different women are discussing with each other. They are saying, Valgata Shatrumabhitaha Krishnasya Vadanambujam Vikshyatam Shrama Varyuptam Padmakosham Ivambubhi.
Just see the lotus face of the Krishna as he darts around his foe. That face covered with the drops of perspiration brought on by the strenuous fight resembles a lotus covered with dew.
What are you saying? They are not tired? See Krishna's lotus face, right? As he is fighting with the opponent, drops of perspiration are coming on his face. It's like drops of dew on a lotus. So, I mean, they were describing the fatigued condition of Krishna. Still, that is beautiful. It's like drops of dew on a lotus. That looks beautiful. So even the drops of tired, fatigued perspiration on Krishna's face also looks beautiful. But he's fatigued. Right? They are concerned about that. Right? Kimna pashyata Ramasya Mukham Atamralochanam Mushtikam Pratisamarsham Hasasam Rambha Shobhitam.
Don't you see the face of Lord Balaram with its eyes copper red from his anger towards Mushtika, and its beauty enhanced by his laughter and his absorption in the fight.
Look at Balaram. He is also becoming angry on Chanura, Mushtika. Chanura with Krishna and Mushtika with Balaram. Like that.
They were concerned about both.
Punya bata vraja bhuvo yadayam drilinga. Gudha purana purusho vanachitra malyaha. Gah palayan sahabala kvanayam schavenum. Vikridayanchati grihi giritra ramarchitangrihi.
How pious are the tracts of land in Vraj, for there the primeval personality of Godhead, disguising himself with the human traits, wanders about enacting his many pastimes, adorned with the wonderfully variegated forest garlands. Variegated forest garlands. He whose feet are worshipped by Lord Shiva and Goddess Rama vibrates his flute as he tends the cows in the company of Balram.
It's a wonderful verse. They were appreciating Vrindavan, right? Punya bata vraja bhuvo yadayam drilinga. So what glory, how pious is the Vrindavan land? Because Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yadayam drilinga, in the form of a human being, gudha, very in a concealing way, in the form of a human, he is wandering there. Purana Purusho Vanachitra Malyaha. Purana Purusho, although he is the oldest and original personality, he took the form of a human being and then wandered in the tracts of Vrajaland, right? Enacting so many pastimes. They said, Gah Palayan. He started tending cows. Saha Balaha. Along with Balram. Kvanayamscha Venum. By playing flute. Vikridita, Vikridayanchati, Giritra. So he is performing so many pastimes. So Giritra Ramarchita Angrihi. So here Giritra is Lord Shiva, Rama is Goddess of Fortune, Archita Angrihi. Although Goddess of Fortune and Rama, Goddess of Fortune and Shiva, they worship the lotus feet of Krishna. He is coming in the simple land of Vrindavan and then tending cows, performing so many pastimes. How glorious is this land of Raja? So first they appreciated Vrindavan, right? So these devotees, these ladies, why suddenly they remembered Vrindavan? They were actually making a comparison between Mathura and Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Krishna simply enjoys with Balaramji and all the Gopa boys and then cowherd girls. And in Mathura, he is being harassed by these wrestlers. And the gopis are so fortunate to see the sweet pastimes of Krishna. And we are so unfortunate to see this horrible condition in which Krishna is there now. He is being troubled and tormented by the wrestlers, and we are witnessing that. We are so unfortunate, so unlucky, and gopis are so fortunate. They never saw anything that caused some harm to Krishna. They were always seeing Krishna very happy. So these are their emotions, right? They expressed their love in a very critical mood, right? So they were condemning the city of Mathura. This Mathura city is giving this kind of treatment to Krishna. My God, what Krishna had to undergo. For example, you saw one of your favorite relatives or friends enjoying some very five-star opulences, right? Eating such wonderful food. And then one day you see him as a beggar on the street doing some madhukari or whatever, right? Getting some stale food to eat. Then you feel some sympathy towards him. My God, how he lived and how he is living now. Huh? Of course, after you become brahmachari, this kind of feelings may not come. But I'm just giving a comparison. That's what they are also thinking. Krishna enjoys in Vrindavan and here he is suffering in Mathura. And we are unfortunate to see it. Now they start glorifying the gopis. Gopya tapah kimacharan yadamushya rupam.
Gopya tapah kimacharan. लावण्यसारमसमोर्ध्वमनन्यसिद्धम् दृग्भिः पिबन्त्यनुसवाभिनवम् दुरापम् एकान्तधामयशश्रिय ऐश्वरस्य गोप्याः तपः किमचरन् यदमुष्यरूपम् लावण्यसारमसमोर्ध्वमनन्यसिद्धम् दृग्भिः पिबन्त्यनुसवाभिनवम् दुरापम् एकान्तधामयशश्रिय ऐश्वरस्य
Now they are all the ladies of Mathura, they were appreciating the fortune of gopis more.
Gopyaha tapah kimacharan. What kind of austerities these gopis have done? Right? What is the glory? Now, when you say austerity, it's not a material austerity. It's the general understanding that if you undergo some austerity, you get some good benefit. Right? In that sense, these words are spoken. Right? Ittam satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradevatena. Lay there, krata punya punjaha. They have done heaps of pious activities to be able to play with Krishna. It's not the pious activities will not allow you to play with Krishna. They have done unlimited activities that are pleasing to Krishna. Like that. Similarly, Akrura also says, when entering Vrindavan, that what austerities I have done, what charities I have given to be able to enter Vrindavan now. Like that. So, it's in a general way. But actually, Krishna has to be pleased to give his vision to some devotee. It's not mere austerities. Now they are glorifying. Gopyah tapah kimacharan. What austerities did the gopis perform to get this privilege? Of what? Yat amushya rupam. Right? Amushya. Such a one. Amushya means this kind of one. What is that? Krishna. This kind of form of Krishna they have seen. What is the glory of that form of Krishna which the gopis saw? Lavanya saram. It is the essence of all beauty. Lavanya means loveliness. Right? Fair and lovely. Right? We have that cream. They want to put some cream and then become lovely. Huh? But the actual loveliness is in Krishna. Lavanya. Lavanya saram. The essence of all loveliness is Krishna. Krishna's form. Lavanya saram asamordhvam. Oh, this is the essence of beauty. Means, you are saying this is the essence of beauty. Someone else also could be the essence of beauty. There could be so many beauties like that. Right? What is so special about this beauty of Krishna? Asamordhvam. There is nothing equal to this beauty. Urdhvam. There is nothing superior to this beauty. Lavanya saram asamordhvam. Oh, is it like that? Krishna's beauty is nowhere existing. Nothing greater to this. No one is equal to this beauty of Krishna. Then where did he get this beauty? Then the Mathuravasis say, Ananya Siddham. Krishna did not acquire this beauty from anyone. It is innate in him. It is natural in him. Since time immemorial, Krishna is having this beauty. Krishna's beauty is beginningless. Ananya Siddham Asamordhvam. Right? Krishna did not acquire this from anyone else. So, there is no source for Krishna's beauty. Krishna is the source of all beauty. Ananya Siddham. Now, what is the nature of this beauty? Oh, this is beautiful. I will see it once. No. You have to see it repeatedly. Even after seeing this beauty repeatedly, you will not be satiated. Drigbhi pibanti anusava abhinavam. Drigbhi means through your vision. Pibanti, you drink that beauty. Anusava abhinavam. It always appears newer and newer and newer. Constantly you see the same beauty, you will not be satiated. Anusava abhinavam. Oh, like that? Then I will go to Vrindavan and see this beauty. Right? It is so easy. Then they say, durapam, not so easy. This beauty is not available so easily
to be able to see Krishna's beauty constantly is the privilege of gopis only. Gopya tapah kimacharan. So durapam means very rarely attainable beauty. Right? One cannot buy a ticket to go to Vrindavan and then see Krishna's beauty. It is durapam. It's mentioned clearly. Drigbhi pibanti anusava abhinava durapam. Then ekanta dhama yashashasriya aishwarasya. It is ekanta dhama. One and only abode of what? Yashashaha, fame. Shriya, beauty. Aishwarasya, all the opulences. Right? Not just beauty. It is, we are describing so much about beauty. But this form of Krishna is not just abode of beauty. It is the abode of all opulences. And it is the one and only abode of all opulences. It's not that there are multiple abodes of all opulences. It is the one and only abode of all opulences in full. That's what they say. Right? So the word, words used here, these five words, lavanyasaram, asamordham, ananyasiddham, then anusava abhinavam, then durapam. So all these, and ekantadhama, six words. So all these are very important attributes of Krishna's beauty.
Yo yadohane vahanane maha mathanopalepa prinkhinkaram pararudito kshanamarjanadau gayanti chintamanurakta dhiyo shrukanthyo dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chittayana yadohane vahanane mathanopalepa prinkhinkanambara rudito kshanamajjanado gayanti chainam anurak tadhiyo shrukanthyo dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chittayana
read.
The ladies of Vraja are the most fortunate of women because with their minds fully attached to Krishna and their throats always choked up with tears, they constantly sing about him while milking the cows, winnowing grain, churning butter, gathering cow dung for fuel, riding on swings, taking care of their crying babies, sprinkling the grounds with water, cleaning their houses, and so on. By their exalted Krishna consciousness, they automatically acquire all desirable things.
See how much all the gopis were absorbed in Krishna is described very wonderfully here. Ya dohane, dohane means while milking the cow. Avahaname, so while threshing, right? Mathana, churning. Upalepa, smearing. What they do is they take some cow dung and then smear on the wall, right? Then prenkha inkhana, swinging on swings, jhulan, right? The young gopis of Vrindavan, they sit on the swings and then they go like this, right? Then arbharudita, now little elderly, mothers, motherly gopis, not motherly gopis, gopis who are already mothers of babies, right? Arbharudita, while taking care of their crying babies, right? Ukshana, sprinkling. Sprinkling means water. What they do in villages is they take cow dung and mix with water and then sprinkle like this. So then the whole corridor, whatever, the place, the courtyard of the house is like clean. Right? You know this? How many of you have experienced this and saw this? This my mother used to do. My grandmother used to do. Right? This happens. But they used to do with buffalo dung, not cow dung. Right? Putting some lep on cob house, they put some lep and then put some rangoli like this, right? I picked up painting from there only. So they have different patterns with which they decorate the walls. These are all simple activities of village women. So they do majjana, cleaning, right? They do some jhadu of the simple houses, adau, and so on. Gayanti cha enam anurakta. See, the third line is very exciting. Gayanti cha enam anurakta dhiyo ashrukanthyo. While doing all these kinds of simple activities, they sing the glories of Krishna. Anurakta dhiyo, their dhiya, intelligence or minds are overwhelmed with anurakta, overwhelmed with affection for Krishna, right? Devotion for Krishna. Ashru kanthyo, when they are singing, their voice is trembling, their eyes were shedding tears. Ashru kanthyo. Then dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chitta yanaha. Dhanya, they are so fortunate. Vrajastriya, all the vrajastriyas, gopis, they were so fortunate. Dhanya, there is no other fortune and auspiciousness than this. Anurakta dhiyo. Then what is the last word? Urukrama chitta yanaha. Yanaha means travel, right? Yan means, let's say, flying like this. Their chitta is urukrama. Urukrama chitta yanaha. Their chitta consciousness is constantly wandering or flying around the feelings and glories of Krishna. Like that. Urukrama chitta yanaha. They are floating. Just like yana means yana floats in sky, right? Similarly, their consciousness is floating in Krishna's glories and activities and pastimes. Dhanya. That is the greatest fortune. That is dhanya. Other things are not dhanya. Like that. They glorified. We can read Chakravarti Pada's purport on this verse. Okay. Pratur vrajat vrajata avishatas chasayam. Gobhis samam kvanayatos chanishamya venum. Nirgamya turnam abalaha pati bhuri punyaha. Pashyanti sasmita mukham sadayava lokam.
When the gopis hear Krishna playing his flute as he leaves Vraja in the morning with his cows or return with them at sunset, the young girls quickly come out of their houses to see him. They must have performed many pious activities to be able to see him as walks on the road. As he walks on the road, his smiling face mercifully glancing upon them.
They are further describing the fortune of all these gopis. Pratar vrajad vrajata avishatas chasayam. So morning Krishna is going to the forest with the cows and gopas, and evening also he is coming back, and all the gopis were anticipating, when will I have the vision of Krishna? Now Krishna will go to the pasturing grounds, I will be able to see him like that. Going. And then when will he come back? Throughout the day they are absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. They will sing Venu Gita, they will sing Yogala Gita and all that. And then evening again when he comes, they are remembering Krishna and then seeing Krishna coming back. And in the night they think of Krishna. They do Rasleela and all. So whole day 24/7 they are absorbed in Krishna only. Either personally associating or by dint of remembrance or by seeing him. They are just aru urkrama chitta yanaha. Their mind is just hovering with the thoughts of Krishna. Like that. Fine. No, Sukadeva Goswami is continuing. As this woman were discussing, all these were being discussed by Mathura ladies. Right? So he says, Krishna, the master of all mystic power, made up his mind to kill his opponent. Now, last 10 verses, Krishna is fighting with Chanura. And Balram is fighting with Mushtika. And meanwhile, in the last 10 verses, we have seen how the Mathura ladies were getting worried about the safety of Krishna and Balram. Now Krishna made up his mind, let me kill these fellows. Why should I unnecessarily cause so much of anxiety in the minds of all these Mathura ladies who love me so much? Right? I want to relieve them from suffering now. That's what they... Krishna made up his mind. Sabhaya Stri Gira Shrutva
पुत्रस्नेह सुचातुरौ पितराव अन्वतप्येताम् पुत्रयोर अबुधौ बलम्।
Out of affection for the two lords, their parents, Devaki and Vasudev, become overwhelmed with the sorrow when they heard the woman's fearful statements. They grieved not knowing their son's strength.
Now the emotions of Devaki and Vasudev are described. They were overwhelmed with sorrow. Right? Parental affection now, pure Vatsalya, covered their awareness of the incomparable strength of Krishna and Balaram. Like that. So they were even thinking that, my God, why did we allow Akrura to go and bring Krishna and Balaram here to see this scene today? Like that, they were in anxiety. So now their emotions are described by Sukadeva Goswami here. They were thinking that Akrura should not have gone to Vrindavan to bring Krishna and Balaram. Why did we at all approve this? Let Kamsa kill us, no problem. Our children have to be safe. That is their emotion at this point, seeing this scene. Like that. Now Krishna will relieve all of them. So Lord Balaram and Mushtika, expertly displaying numerous wrestling techniques, battle each other in the same way that Lord Krishna and his opponent did. So Balaram also was fighting with Mushtika in a similar way. The harsh blows from the Supreme Lord's limbs fell like crushing lightning bolts upon Chanura, breaking every part of his body and causing him more and more pain and fatigue. Right? Furious Chanura attacked Lord Vasudeva with the speed of a hawk and struck his chest with both his fists. Like that. Chanura's. Right? He struck. And 10-year-old boy. Like that. So he was hoping for victory, but certainly he is in a wrong time and wrong place. Chanura. He was fighting with Krishna. And that too at this time, when Kamsa is about to be killed, he will definitely be defeated. Like that. So no more shaken by the demon's mighty blows than an elephant struck by a flower garland. Chanura is punching him like this, and Krishna is feeling that some flower garland fell on him. Now you put garland on me, right? It just struck my chest. Right? How much? I will not even feel anything, right? So similarly, Krishna was feeling like that. A garland fell on him, like that. So Krishna grabbed Chanura by his arms, swung him around several times like this, hurled him onto the ground with great force. His clothes, hair, garland scattering, and the wrestler fell down dead, like a huge festival column collapsing. Big column, with na bada pillar. It just collapsed. Like that, Chanura fell to the ground. Next, similarly, Mushtika struck Balabhadra with his fist and was slain. Receiving a violent blow from the mighty Lord's palm, the demon trembled all over in great pain, vomited blood, and then fell lifeless onto the ground, like a tree blown down by the wind. Like that. So confronted next by the wrestler Kuta. Now Chanura, Mushtika are gone. Now Kuta. So Balaram playfully and non-calently killed him with his left fist. O king. Balaramji did like this and that the fellow dead. That is Kuta. Then Krishna struck the wrestler Shala in his head with his toes and tore him in half. The Lord dealt with Toshala in the same way, and both wrestlers fell down dead. So Balaramji killed Kuta and Mushtika. Krishna killed Shala, Toshala and Chanura. Three. So Chanura, Mushtika, Kuta, Shala, Toshala having been killed, remaining wrestlers, they did not come forward only. They ran away. So Krishna and Balaram then called their young cowherd boys to join them. And in their company, they danced and sported. After all, they are children. Right? They started dancing in the wrestling arena only. And hey, that children dance, right? You can see our Gurukul boys. So their ankle bells resounded as musical instruments played. So this happened. And now Sridhama got very surprised. My God, Krishna, you killed them. You always wrestle with me and then I defeat you. Are you the same Krishna? How could you kill these big wrestlers, mountain-like wrestlers, like Chanura, Shala and Toshala? Are you the same Krishna? Let's fight with each other. And then they started fighting. Right? And Sudama, Sridhama defeated Krishna. And then Sridhama said, yeah, you are the same Krishna. Right? If you can defeat him, I can easily defeat him. Right? He doesn't need me. You are sufficient for him. So that is Sridhama's point. Like that. Then everyone except Kamsa rejoiced at the wonderful feat Krishna and Balram had performed. The exalted Brahmanas and great saints exclaimed, excellent, excellent. Like that. So then worst of Brahmanas named Kamsa's priests, they were not happy. Other Brahmanas said, excellent, excellent. But Kamsa's priests did not say that. Then Kamsa started speaking. He became crazy now. But he has, all hopes are gone. Right? See, as soon as he heard that Krishna and Balram were sons of Vasudev, he immediately arranged a plan. Right? Few chapters back. Right? He said, Keshi and Vyoma, you go and kill them. They failed. And then he said, Akrura, you bring them. He kept Kuvalaya Pida. He could not do anything. Then he kept all these five wrestlers. They could not do anything. No last hope. Kamsa is being so fearful. Now all his plans got spoiled. Now let's see his frustration. So the Bhoja king, seeing that the best wrestlers had been killed and had fled, stopped the musical performance, and which is originally meant for his pleasure, and spoke the following words. See, out of his craziness, what he is speaking. He said, drive the two wicked sons of Vasudev out of the city. Confiscate the cowherd boys, cowherd's property and arrest the fool Nanda. Now in his craziness, he is not only blaming Krishna and Balram, he is also blaming Nanda Maharaj. And Kamsa had nothing against Nanda Maharaj so far. But out of his frustration and then craziness and then all his hopes have become smashed. Now he has become totally hopeless. He is about to meet death. That he also became aware. So he is saying like this. So Chakravartipad gives a positive meaning for this. You read yourself. So kill the most evil fool Vasudev. And also kill my father Ugrasen. What did Ugrasen do in this context? He said kill him also. Along with his followers, who all have sided our enemies. As Kamsa thus raved so audaciously, the infallible Lord Krishna intensely became angry and quickly and easily jumped into the high royal dais. This is a wrestling arena. It's not that 10 feet by 10 feet room. Right? It is like, it could be thousands of square feet. Big wrestling arena and thousands of people are sitting in the gallery. So, where Kamsa is sitting and then where Krishna is standing, it's quite far. Krishna in one jump just went there. Yeah, that is the sound. Right? So, hearing this enmity and then malice that is coming out of Kamsa's mouth, Krishna could not tolerate. Right? So, but Krishna doesn't lose his discrimination in anger. Other living entities will lose discrimination. Now, in the absorption of Krishna in this pastime, he just jumped like that. So seeing Krishna approaching like death personified, Kamsa instantly rose from his seat and took up his sword and shield, right? As if he can do something. But sword in hand, Kamsa moved quickly from side to side like a hawk in the sky. But Krishna, whose fearsome strength is irresistible, powerfully seized the demon, just as the son of Tarksha might capture a snake. Son of Tarksha means Garuda. So Garuda, just like it effortlessly seizes a snake, Krishna also caught this fellow. Grabbing Kamsa by the hair and knocking off his crown, he just removed the crown and then took his hair. Then the lotus naval lord threw him off the elevated dais onto the wrestling mat. So from the dais, which is quite high, he just threw him like this. Right, Krishna, Kamsa just flew as if it was like a pen. Is a pen? Is a
stone legesa feka. Like that he threw Kamsa. And then he came in the middle of wrestling arena. Right? Then the independent lord, the support of entire universe, threw himself upon the king. And then Krishna himself jumped and came on the body of Kamsa. Right? So then Krishna at once straddled his chest and began to strike him like this, like this. Then simply from the strokes of the fist, Kamsa lost his living force. He was dead. As a lion drags a dead elephant, Krishna dragged Kamsa's dead body along the ground in full view of everyone present. Right? Then everyone was crying out, oh, what happened? Like that. So actually, Kamsa died by the force with which Krishna threw him on the wrestling mat only. Then on top of it, Krishna came and then started pounding on his chest. He was already dead. Just to prove that Kamsa has died by the punches of my fists, which are so delicate and soft. So to prove to the people who are onlookers, so Krishna dragged Kamsa's dead body like that. This fellow is dead. Trust me. Don't be overpowered by my delicate looks. Right? Simple looks. He already dead. So he dragged him.
Next, he was moving the corpse. So Kamsa had always been disturbed by the thought that the Supreme Lord was to kill him.
Means Kamsa was Krishna conscious. He was always remembering Krishna, constantly remembering Krishna, 24/7, but in a negative way, with fear. Therefore, when drinking, eating, moving about, sleeping, or simply breathing, the king had always seen the Lord before him with the disc weapon in his hand. Thus Kamsa achieved Sarupya Mukti. Like that. So we have learned in 7th canto, 1st chapter, Kamsad, Dveshad, Bhayat. So that one verse comes, na? Gopyat Kamat, Bhayat Kamso. Gopyat Kamat, Bhayat Kamso. That verse. Then Kamsa had 8 younger brothers. Right? Their names were Kanka, Nyagrodhaka, etc. They attacked Krishna. And as they ran swiftly towards the lords, ready to strike, Balramji took a club and then easily killed all of them. 8 brothers. Done. So kettle drums resounded in the sky as Brahma, Shiva and other demigods. The Lord's expansions rained down flowers upon him with pleasure. They chanted his praises and their wives danced. My dear king, the wives of Kamsa and his brothers, aggrieved by the death of their well-wishing husbands, came forward with tearful eyes, beating their heads. Like, oh my God, my husbands are gone. So embracing their husbands who lay on the hero's final bed, the sorrowful woman loudly lamented while shedding constant tears. They said, O master, O dear one, O knower of religious principles, O kind and compassionate protector of the shelterless. This is the symptom of a chaste wife. By your being slain, we have also been slain, together with your household and offspring. So they were thinking like, just when husband is dead, even the wives also feel that they are as if dead only. Even when Ravana died on the battlefield and all his wives would come on the battlefield and they lament. Right. So, O great hero among men, bereft of you, its master, this city has lost its beauty, just as we have. So woman will lose her beauty. A widowed woman would shave her head, wear a white sari, no ornaments or any opulent decoration or dressing. So she doesn't look beautiful anymore. Right? So, and all festivity and good fortune within it have come to an end. O dear one, you have been brought into this state because of the terrible violence you committed against innocent creatures. Now, they also could recognize Kamsa's evil activities. Even Mandodari, she was warning Kamsa, warning Ravan, what you are doing is wrong. And after Ravana was killed by Ram, then also she came and said, you did all this nonsense. What else you can expect? Right? You can only expect death. And now because of your stupid activities, we have become widows. Like that. How can one who harms others attain happiness? Wives also are saying.
Sarveshamiha bhutanam.
Yesha hi prabhavapyayaham.
Gopta chatad
avadhyayi. Nakvachit sukhamedhate.
Lord Krishna caused the appearance and disappearance of all beings in this world, and he is the maintainer as well. One who disrespects him can never prosper happily.
Okay, now Sukadeva Goswami is concluding. After consoling the royal ladies, Krishna, sustainer of worlds, arranged for the funeral rites. Then Krishna and Balram released their mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, offered obeisances to them, touching their feet. Then Devaki and Vasudeva, not knowing Krishna and Balram to be the lords of the universe, simply stood with joined palms. Aishwarya mudaga thoda. Then being apprehensive, they did not embrace their sons. Now in the next chapter we will see how Krishna will invoke their vatsalya feeling once again. There are so many details in the purports and other things, so I had to kind of skip. But you can study on your own. So, yeah, arranging funeral rites Krishna personally did. So even Narsingdev also arranged for the funeral rites of Hiranyakashipu. Ram told Vibhishan, perform funeral rites for Ravan, like that. So Lord also takes care of that part. Right. He doesn't just simply leave and then happily move ahead. He doesn't simply kill and leave there. Okay, so many such insights are there, but I think we should discuss this also. I'll take 5 more minutes. Kamsa's previous birth as Kalanemi. We have discussed Kamsa's appearance or birth as son of Drumila. So we'll discuss his previous birth now. So when this ocean is being churned, that is Samudra Manthan, 8th canto, you remember? Samudra Manthan. So at that time there is one great demon called Kalanemi. So he fought so violently on the side of demons, and at one point demigods are being defeated. Then Lord Vishnu personally comes and kills Kalanemi. You remember this? 8th canto. So when with his Sanjeevani science, Sukracharya revived him, in his heart Kalanemi was thinking, Vishnu killed me? I think I have to take revenge. Then he went to Mount Mandara. He performed severe austerities. He was drinking Durva grass juice. So Karela juice, we have so many other juices, right? He made juice out of Durva grass. And then he started drinking that and he worshipped Lord Brahma. So when 100 celestial years had passed like that, all that remained is only his bones and an anthill. Right? He was doing such austerities. Then Brahma appeared one day and said, ask for a benediction. Then Kalanemi said, may my death not come from the hands of any of all of the very powerful demigods who have Lord Vishnu as their root. So no demigod should be able to kill me. Then Brahma said, O demon, the benediction you request is difficult to attain. Still, you will attain it because you have done so many austerities. I am obliged to give you, I give you this benediction. Then Ugrasena's wife was cheated by demon Drumila, and then he got a demoniac birth. Right? Even in childhood also, Kamsa would fight with wrestlers. He fought with Kovalyapida and then threw it. And then he married Asti and Prapti, the daughters of Jarasandha. And then like that, Kamsa would constantly engage in so many fights. Even this Chanura, Mushtika, Shalatoshala, all these people,
they were sons of King Mahishmati. Earlier they were sons of sage Utatya. All these five wrestlers. Now in this birth they have become sons of King Mahishmati. So Kamsa went and fought with them, defeated them and made them his servants. Like that. So like that Kamsa had this kind of previous history, and in this birth he subdued so many demoniac people and made them his servants and engaged them in his protection. And not only that, Kamsa had 8 younger brothers and they also attained liberation. So now we will see who are they in their previous births. So in the ancient times there was a yaksha named Deva, Deva Yaksha. So he lived in Alakapuri, right? He was devoted to Lord Shiva, Deva Yaksha. So he had 8 sons. Their names were Devakota, Mahagiri, Ganda, Danda, Prachanda, Khanda, Akhanda and Prithu. Okay. So one time this Deva Yaksha sent them to get some lotus flowers, 1,000 lotus flowers for worshipping Lord Shiva. Right? So from Manasarovara they took many flowers filled with humming bees. After greedily smelling them, they gave them to their father. Then the worship of Shiva has become contaminated. How can you give your maha to someone? Before offering a flower to the Lord, you should not smell it. Right? So they are already smelled flowers. So you foolish sons, you have contaminated this offering. So all of you become demons for 3 births. So by the touch of Balram's auspicious hands, they became free from sin and they attained liberation. So this is the previous history of the brothers of Kamsa. Then we have seen the previous history of Kamsa, his brothers, his wrestlers, his elephant, and all the demons he had sent. Not son of Ugrasena. Oh, the other sons you are saying. That detail is not very much given. Wrestlers are sons of some king. Ganatraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. So I have taken so much time. I thought of completing this chapter. So next 2 classes will be given by Gorsharan Prabhu, Monday, Tuesday. Okay. Wednesday, Gaurampriya Prabhu. Thursday, Radhika Valla Prabhu. Okay.